Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Bill and it's Wendy, part one of our program. Listen now, listen later. Listen in the middle, because Steve does the Wintrust Business Lunch, and it's enjoyable.
Thank you.
He does do a fine job, Steve Bertrand.
Yes, he does.
You know, there's a new company, a startup called Songfinch, and for $200, they'll write a song just for you.
I love
Bill
that.
Bill can do that. Did you ever hear his Jake Arrieta song?
Or your loved one for a gift or something like that. So they're coming on today.
So do they tell you, like when you get down, you sit down with them and they say, tell us about the person you're writing a song about.
Right.
And then do they also ask what type of song?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that idea.
What type of music? Do you
That's
want hip hop or R&B?
Gospel.
Gospel? You'd want gospel on yours?
Yep.
You want it to be like a Christmas carol?
That's excellent.
Isn't it a cool idea?
Yeah.
It really is.
So they'll be on
today.
They'll
be on during the Wintrust Business Lunch.
You gotcha.
We have, I'm not trying to one-up you, Steve, Wendy and I have a guest that we're very proud of, and that's Mark Harmon.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. Mark Harmon will be with us.
The actor?
No, not Mark Harmon. Mark Harmon.
Harmon.
When I first met him, I thought it was Mark Harmon. And he says it so it sounds like Mark Harmon.
Wouldn't you if you were Mark Harmon?
I guess.
Can I tell you?
He's such a nice guy.
I, for years, you know, I'm a graduate of Columbia College, but when people would ask me where I would go to school, I would say Columbia, and then real quietly, college. Just really quietly.
As opposed
quietly.
To university?
Yeah, I would just go Columbia College, just really quietly at the end. I wonder if Mark Harmon does a similar thing so people think that he is Mark Harmon.
I knew him for about a year before I realized it was Carmen.
Yeah. And he doesn't make any kind of effort to separate, because we talked about his work on NCIS.
It's weird that he wears that NCIS shirt
all the time. All the time. I can't talk right now. We've got a run-through for a scene for NCIS. You're not on NCIS.
Well, he's going to be talking about fandom, and there is a lot of fandom out there. I need a passion.
You don't have a passion?
I like
you
to garden,
have, yeah.
But I mean, I'm not.
That counts.
I guess The Walking Dead I'm pretty much a big fan of.
And there's a bunch of music groups you like a lot.
You clean your house the day before Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah.
That's about that a lot.
I need to get a life.
Well, all right.
I never had a nickname, and I never had a passion.
Well, maybe Songfinch can write you a nickname.
All right, we'll work on that.
Or Nick Finch.
Is that half price since it's not a full song?
I don't think so. Fella's got to eat.
I'm so intrigued by that, Steve.
I know.
Because I've often thought to myself, there should be that service. If you, in a pinch, need a song written about you or somebody you know, that should. And now it does.
Don't we all know people who would like to wake up to their alarm clock with a song about themselves?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
No, that's a little narcissistic, isn't
it? I know,
it?
Yeah. I'm saying, don't we know those people?
During my formative years, I've already formed. It's too late at this point. But when I was back when I was forming, every song that had Bill in it, I'd get teased with.
Right.
Like kids in my school would sing, Billy, don't be a hero, like that. Or My Girl Bill.
Boy, you had two lame songs.
No,
I mean, they're
more.
Great songs, but.
Won't You Marry Me, Bill?
There's that one.
Won't You Marry Me, Bill?
Yeah, I got that one from The Fifth Dimension.
Singing's not a passion.
What was the other?
Shut.
Was My Girl Bill, was that Jim Stafford? Is that who sang that?
Yeah, I think you're
But there
right.
were a bunch of songs that had my name in it, but it was always in teasing mode. Like nobody ever went, wow, you got a great song with your name in it. That just didn't happen.
The song that followed me around everywhere was The Association's Windy.
Everyone knows
bomp,
it's
bomp, bomp, bomp.
Windy or Wendy.
Which is weird because me, Felicia, I say Wendy when I mean Windy and Windy when I mean Wendy.
How about that?
At the tone, the time will be 10:16.
You know they get ratings points every time you do that.
Oh, crap.
You doing the voice gives them points. I don't know why, but it does.
All right, I'll stop.
Let's take a quick break.
It's a good way to get me to stop, by the way. You're a smart man.
Mark Harmon from NCIS will join us later on.
And it's a Tech Tuesday. We'll talk to Bridget Carey about hot tech gifts.
Right. I still have a pile. I got four newspapers.
Should see a doctor about that.
I am going to see a doctor about that.
A proctologist.
I'm going to see Mark Harmon from NCIS.
He's a proctologist?
I think he is as a hobby, yeah. I still have a pile of those Cubs World Series papers on my desk at home.
Are you selling them?
I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Like, we talked about it when they came out. I was so excited to get them, and they became... You saw in the hallway here at Tribune Tower, it became the
cray-cray.
Most sought-after collectible. So I got four of them, and they're exactly where I put them when I brought them home the day after they won. They're just stacked up there.
Third-party seller.
That's what it'll become. Oh, yesterday, I was saying, and I know people got mad about this, and I understand this. I was talking about how President Trump does not want to
be president-elect. He's not president yet.
Right. I'm just assuming that it'll go through.
If Russia has its way.
And I'm twitching. Both of my eyes, actually, are twitching as I assume that. so I was talking about how President-elect Trump said he will not attend the daily briefings because he's like a smart man and he doesn't need to. He'll just go once a week. And then yesterday I said, well, what is he doing with all that free time then? Because I would think that that time would be better spent having the daily briefing, but I'm sure he's found something important to occupy that time. And now it turns out that that's the case. Today, for instance, Wendy, he had a meeting with Kanye West.
To talk about the next election, which Kanye is going to run for. I think he's given Kanye some pointers. Here's how you do it.
Well, I think Donald Trump is afraid if Kanye does win in the land where anyone can win, this could be a serious detriment to Donald Trump. So he's maybe giving him false tips of how, you know,
sabotage
and mess with him. Kanye West, this is a story out of Business Insider published just an hour ago. Kanye West sent the political universe into overdrive Tuesday morning when he entered Trump Tower in New York City. West, accompanied by his entourage, if you're Kanye West, you can't travel alone. You need about a 15 or 20 person entourage because that wouldn't work to just be on your own. This included a videographer. They all walked into the lobby of Trump Tower just after 9 a.m. Eastern time. Trump spokesperson Hope Hicks confirmed to Business Insider that Kanye West was in a meeting with Donald Trump. The pair later descended down to Trump Tower's lobby for a photo op.
On a bat pole.
Right.
That's how they got down there.
Right. There's a bust of Carly Fiorina that he moves the head back and then something slides open and they get on the bat poles, the Trump poles, and then they come downstairs. We've been friends for a long time, Trump said, adding that the two discuss. What do you think they, if I had to say their discussion in one word was about what would your guess be? Because he sums it up in
Kim
one
Kardashian.
Word.
Kim Kardashian?
Nope. Nope.
Churros?
Nope. Those are both outstanding guesses.
Thank you.
It says that the two discussed, and it's in quotes, life.
Here, you want to listen to him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. Here, just a sec. Here we go.
All right.
Hi, what did you guys discuss in your meeting today?
Just friends, and it's a good man. Doing well. Long time. We've been friends for a long time. Life. We discussed it.
So does he mean life in general or the cereal?
No, I think the game, the board game.
The game, the magazine.
The game of life.
Well,
you learn
know,
about life when you play the game of life.
Obviously, West has gone through a lot in the past 2 weeks.
Yes.
So maybe they did talk about life.
Maybe.
About what really matters in the grand scheme of things.
Can I be the first to say these words together? Supreme Court Justice West.
I like it.
Doesn't that have a nice sound to it?
See, you know, remember when the Bears were losing and it's like, okay, keep losing so we can get a good draft pick.
Right.
And if you're going to be the best at something, be the best of the worst.
Right.
Now it's like, bring it on. Everything's so cray-cray. Let it go.
Why not?
Yeah, come
what have you
on.
Have to, at this point.
Let's do it up. Do it up right. You got everybody talking about us. Keep it coming.
All right. Now, I know this is a ridiculous question, but it's a ridiculous situation, Kanye West meeting with Donald Trump. Who requests the meeting? Does Donald Trump say, I really need to have a sit down with Kanye West and make sure that he's okay and, of course, find out little things he knows about life so that I know them when I go into the office? Or does Kanye West say, well, there's a new guy who's going to be president. I gotta find out what's what. I got to sit down with him and find out where we're headed.
My guess is Kanye requested the meeting. Because why would Donald Trump want to talk to Kanye West?
I don't know.
He doesn't want to talk to anyone. It's like, you may approach me now. That's how Donald Trump is.
But he met with Mitt Romney, which I didn't think would happen. He just met with Carly Fiorina, which I didn't think would happen. If you and I just sent him a note and said, we really need 20 minutes of your time.
Oh, he would in a minute.
He would meet with us?
On the radio or off at the air?
At Trump Tower. I'd go to Trump Tower for the meeting.
He'd probably see us.
Would he see us?
I hear you two are dissing me.
Right.
He'd try and turn us around, Bill.
Right. He can try.
He could turn us around and we'd face the corner.
Right. You two in the corner. All right, we're in the corner.
We're good.
We're in the corner. That's fine. So that's what happened today. And can we predict what will happen tomorrow?
No. I'd like to hear it.
No.
I want to hear predictions. Who will he meet with tomorrow?
Asked by reporters whether he had anything to say about his meeting, West said only that he wanted to take a photo. The pair then shared a surreal handshake before parting ways. Do you know what this reminds me of? I know this is a little bit of a stretch, but it's not really. It's that famous photograph where Elvis Presley and Richard Nixon have a meeting in the Oval Office. And when you see the picture, your brain just spins around.
That's like, totally it. Modern day version right. of that picture.
Right.
That's what they were doing. They were recreating that.
They should have had that picture in the background as they're shaking
Perfect.
Hands. The picture of Nixon.
That could have been their Christmas card.
Elvis. I know. All right. Stick around. We have a big show for you. Steve's got the news in just a little bit. It is a Tech Tuesday, so we'll check in with Bridget Carey. We'll find out what's going on. I'm guessing some last-minute Christmas ideas for anybody on your tech Christmas list. And then, of course, from NCIS, WGN's own Mark Harmon, it's Bill and Wendy WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Bill, you just pointed out the picture of Kanye and the Donald.
Yeah, CLTV's featuring it right now.
God, everybody watches CLTV. Why
yep.
aren't we on it?
There's been some talk.
Amongst whom?
People who have nothing to do with CLTV.
Me and Kevin.
Right.
Well, someone has texted that we're missing the whole point.
What is the point?
The reason Donald Trump met with Kanye West is because maybe Kanye's going to be the entertainment at the inauguration.
Is that possible?
I don't know if it's a joke or not.
I don't know if that is a joke.
Dude, anything
I guess,
is possible.
Right. It is, we live in the bizarro world now, so yeah.
And right. imagine the video clips in 4 years when Kanye is our next president. They, right. they can show that this is where they first met
right.
and discussed life.
And Donald Trump is the entertainment at the inauguration.
Oh.
Doing real body stand-up.
Right.
I'd say he'd be doing magic.
Huge. It's huge.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Sleight of hand?
Yeah. Yes. Sleight of little hand?
Yep. Now the links are together. Now they're apart. Now the links are together.
What's the best? Never mind.
Hey, can I congratulate somebody very quickly? Did you hear about Steve Alexander?
What did he do?
Do you know about that? Steve Alexander for weeks has been saying to me, I need to find something. Steve Bertrand has Steve Bertrand Travel.
Yeah.
And Steve Cochran has stand-up shows that he does from time to time. So Steve Alexander said to me, I have a business venture that I want to start, and I know they're just starting in time for Christmas, the Steve Alexander Sweat Lodges. Did you read that press release?
It doesn't surprise me at
this
all.
This is going to be huge for him.
So creative.
I'm so happy to hear this.
I wasn't ready for it to be made.
Do you not want it on air yet, Steve?
Not yet.
This wasn't the big reveal?
No.
So 12 locations, unless do you not want to give them out?
No. You've already, it's out of the bag.
Mostly in the western suburbs, but one in the city and then a couple in Wyoming. I don't know why, but they'll be ready in time for Christmas, and booking starts now, so get in while you can. Steve, this is going to be gigantic.
I hope so.
It is.
Yes.
Do you have to be named Steve to have a side project?
Yes.
We're screwed.
What's nice is the wicking material that he makes his shirts out of that he sells with the clothing line.
Right. In the gift shop, in the Sweat Lodge gift
right.
shop. Mm-hmm. Well, good for
Congratulations,
you,
Steve.
That's
Thank
excellent.
You very much.
I'm so happy for him.
Me too.
Jeez, Phil.
He ran back into the office for that, too. He was seeing the news.
I'm sure he's glad he did.
Good.
Can I tell you what President Obama's post-presidential perks are?
Yeah, what does he get?
According to the newspaper.
Yeah.
He will open an office in Washington, D.C. after his presidency ends on January 20th.
Mm-hmm.
What is his side project going to be?
Nobody knows yet. He'll find something.
His name's not Steve, though.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
The federal government covers the cost of offices and small staff for former presidents.
So what goes on at the office? Do we know? Because if you have an office, that's great, but you have to do something in the office. Do we
I'm
know
anxious
what's
to find out what he's going to
no
do.
Wonder.
And then the federal government will be paying for that office because they do, and a small staff for all former presidents,
yeah.
plus a pension and other compensation for travel. You want to know how much his annual pension is going
to
be?
I would love to know.
As a former president, Barack Obama will receive a $205,700 annual pension.
That's not bad. That's all right, isn't
wow.
it?
Wow.
That's pretty
every
good.
Every year he gets that?
Yeah, every year. And then he gets Secret Service protection forever
yeah.
or for how long?
How long is that, Steve? I thought forever.
I think it can be forever. I think some presidents forego it after a while.
Do
some
they?
Former presidents, right.
Yeah. Well, that's an important element. Yeah. I can see where you'd want to have Secret Service protection, I think, for his family as well, right? That doesn't just cut off at him, does it?
I believe his family's included.
Yeah.
Yeah, because didn't you see, was it Sasha who was at, was at Pitchfork, and there's goons next to her.
Yeah, Secret Service.
Can you dance? No, I'm here to stand. And also, the Obama family is staying in Washington until Sasha, who's 15, a sophomore at the private Sidwell Friends School, graduates from high school. So that's why they're going to stay there.
All right. Well, that makes sense, too.
I'm anxious to find out what his business is going to do.
Well, there's been a lot of speculation in the last year of what his next move is. And that's a curious one because, I mean,
I say model.
Model's a possibility.
Professional basketball player?
He does love playing basketball. I don't know if he
pitch man for Grecian formula?
Yes. That would be all right.
Wouldn't it be funny if all of a sudden his hair is not gray anymore?
He's doing billboards like Urlacher with dark hair again.
Last night, I saw him on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. In an interview that started out kind of light and fun and then got pretty serious toward the middle of.
Well, Trevor Noah gets very serious.
Yeah. But he asked him a lot. Trevor Noah, the focus of most of the middle of the interview, and then it got a little lighter again toward the end, was about racism in the country. And he was talking about President Obama was saying that the racist that you think of in your head, you know, like the KKK type of racism, he said that's not really a huge element right now. He said, but it's more of a subdued racism that's his concern, and certainly it exists.
Yeah,
you know, so
he's going to be making the rounds all over the place now.
Yeah, yeah.
With a sigh of relief, I'm out of here.
I wonder when that set in. You have to think at some point. You say to yourself, well, I did the job, and now I'm just kind of coasting. They always talk about lame duck president, and really very little does get done. There's always that pardoning thing that I really think needs to be done away with.
Yeah, that's a stupid little thing. You've committed a crime, but whatever. I'm on my way out, just like the turkey every Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's really silly.
I would prefer there be more accountability, and if the president has the right to pardon people, I get that, and that shouldn't go away. But I think there should be a cutoff that you can't do it in the last 90 days or 120 days because there needs to be some repercussion. Because there's always a couple names on that list of people go, wait a minute. You just let that guy off the hook? I would love to see that limited to the last, like you have to stop a half a year out or something. Maybe.
Everyone's speculating he's going to pardon Rod Blagojevich.
I don't see
that happening.
Not everyone.
No, I know. But that's been a lot of talk. Personally, I think he got too much time, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Could he half pardon him? Like, I don't pardon you all the way, but we'll reduce.
It, yeah.
He could?
I think so. Commute the sentence.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, a pardon clears your name. A commutation, you can be set free, you know, for having time served.
Yeah.
Steve, do you know, I'm not sure, but I want to say that most of the pardons have already taken place. Didn't he do a fairly decent list of them a month or so ago?
I think short of pardoning, Bill, I think he's been commuting a lot of sentences.
Oh, has
because
he?
One of his... You know, and really there's bipartisan support for redefining our mandatory minimums and sentencing guidelines and things like that.
Yeah.
So he has commuted a lot of people who were given, you know, long, long prison sentences for nonviolent drug offenses.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
You never
promised us
the Rose Garden.
I'm going to do it in the Rose Garden.
Right. That's perfect.
I'm interested to find out... what's going to go on in the world? And more people are saying that Kanye West is perhaps performing at the inauguration, and maybe he will become the first Secretary of Entertainment.
He'll be Donald's Beyonce?
Yes. Yeah. That's perfect. All right. We'll take a quick break. In a little while, Bridget Carey joins us from CNET. It's Tech Tuesday. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right. You know what time it is. It's time for our last Tech Tuesday of the year because we aren't working next week. And we have Bridget Carey with us, a CNET senior editor and the host of the CNET Update. Hello, Bridget.
Hey, good to talk to you.
All right, top tech gifts. Let's get right into it because I have two kids and I'm kind of a tech gadget bitch myself. So any good ideas for, let's say, under $50?
Well, if you have kids, have you thought about getting the Pokemon Go Plus bracelet? It's something that isn't exactly easy to find. You can find it at GameStop stores, but it's $35, and it helps them play that Pokemon Go game on their phones without having to take out the phone. It, like, lights up when there's, like, a virtual Pokemon nearby. The whole point of the game is to actually get out of the house, but you don't want to just stare at your phone screen as you're walking in and then run into things. So I've used it. It's kind of neat if they're really into Pokemon. But
it's really big. It's like a plastic handcuff, and my son Dylan wanted it, and then he's like, I can't wear this out of the house because people will laugh at me. But it is kind of cool how the different jewels light up.
Do they have an ankle monitor too, Bridget? Can we get that?
That's what it looks like.
I've got some prisoners on my list this year.
You can put it. You can put it wherever you want. Right. It was turning heads when I was in the park in New York the other day with it. Okay, but I would say something that's interesting about this year is that there are a lot of actually decent gifts that are under $50. It's just something that's changing now in tech gifts, I think. If you know someone who loves music, consider a music streamer so they don't always have to listen off their phone, that they can stream it into speakers in the house with Wi-Fi. Google Chromecast Audio is $35. And if they listen to things like Spotify or Pandora or iHeartRadio or NPR, it basically streams it to another speaker in the house that has this Google Chromecast attached to it. And what's different about just Bluetooth streaming is that when it's on the Wi-Fi network in your house, the music keeps playing without disruption, even if you get a phone call or a text message. And streaming your music over the home Wi-Fi doesn't drain your battery the same way as just streaming it to a Bluetooth speaker.
So this, if I'm understanding this right, replaces, like, I have my iPod connected through Bluetooth speakers. It'll just kind of jump over that and go directly to the service. Is that what this is doing?
Yeah. I mean, first off, it only works on some apps. So you have to be streaming Spotify, Pandora.
All right.
A few others, and then yes, it is. You attach this little dongle to whatever kind of, even an old speaker. It turns old speakers into smart speakers. It could be any speaker you have.
Did you say dongle? By the way, you said dongle.
Yes, you did.
Dongle is the word of 2016.
It is.
Dongles are everywhere. Okay.
Wait, could I just tell you? I think it was a thing that I put in my laptop to use my wireless mouse or
a
something
dongle?
Like that. Well, I didn't know at the time, and then when you look at the wireless things that are connected, I saw a dongle, and I said to my husband, what the hell are you into?
All right, sorry we called you out on it, but I thought you were speaking in tongues for a moment.
No,
I was scared. All right, go ahead. Where do you put your dongle?
Dongles are just some sort of adapter that you attach to a port. In this case, if you have, I can't stop laughing.
I know.
If you have just a regular speaker that has an auxiliary out, it'll just plug in there, and then it's giving that speaker the ability to connect wirelessly to something else.
All right, I'll get one.
Are there any Bluetooth speakers out there that sound pretty good for under $50?
Yeah.
Or really?
Okay. I think, one thing to keep in mind, everyone is always looking for, I want a really small Bluetooth speaker that has great bass. Well, guess what? Science doesn't make that happen. You're not going to get amazing bass from anything small. That said, there are decent, good-sounding Bluetooth speakers that are waterproof if you're traveling, which is also great. JBL is a company. They make one called the Clip 2. It's circular. It comes in cool colors. You can find it for about $50. That's one of those cheap but still good travel wireless speakers.
And it sounds good?
Yes, it sounds good. It has 8 hours of battery life. And it also has a little headphone jack cord. So it's not just Bluetooth if you so want to plug it into something. And also another big thing, speaking of sounding good, this is the year the iPhone lost its headphone jack.
Yeah.
Oh,
so everyone's looking for wireless headsets. And they can get expensive, but we have found one that sounds decent. It's $30. It's got a ridiculous name. It's called the Creative Sound Blaster Jam. If you want to find this, you can go on the CNET website. We have it listed. But these are the cheapest Bluetooth headphones that don't sound like complete garbage, and you get 12 hours of battery life out of it. So it's not hopeless to find affordable Bluetooth headphones, because, I mean, and even if you don't know if they're going to have an iPhone later, or maybe the new Samsungs next year will not have a headphone jack, at least if you go wireless, you're future-proofing the headset for the next phone this person gets.
Last Christmas, I got a...
I gave you my heart.
No, I wasn't going to say.
I gave you my dongle.
Last Christmas, I needed Bluetooth headphones, and I was first
for
of
what?
All in my head. Just for what did you say?
Yeah,
just to put in the living room and play Christmas music. So, like the last time I bought speakers, you had to have two speakers to get true stereo sound. And the guy at Target's like, no, you just need one. And I go, this is going to sound awful. For $35, it's the best sound
really?
I've ever had. Yeah, I can't believe how good it is. I don't know the name of the company. I never heard of them before. But it was $35, and everyone who comes over goes, where's that music coming from? It's perfect. I don't understand.
I mean, sometimes you do get what you pay for. You don't want to completely blow out the louder you go. But it's worth doing a little homework. If you see a great sale on something, you know, and you want to just do a quick Google search, you know, find out if it's garbage or not. There's a lot of weird names out there, so it's hard to memorize everything. But yep. It's getting good on the prices.
That's why you go to CNET.com, because they have reviews of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because when I decided to go against a review, I wanted to buy the Dyson vacuum. And my sister's like, well, CNET says the Shark is better than that. And it just kills me that my sister's throwing CNET back in my face. But
I got the Shark. It's pretty good.
Is it a good one? Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
All right, but you mentioned the wireless headphones and the Bluetooth headphones, rather. And what about Apple's? Speaking of, you know, you can get some that sound pretty good. You mentioned the Creative Sound Blaster Jam for $30. Apple has finally released their wireless AirPods headphones. How much are those to compare and contrast?
Oh, $160.
Oh, my God.
Get it in time for the holidays. Okay, so Apple has had these, you know, these like wireless little, and they look like dongles out of your ear. They just kind of sit wirelessly hanging, these earbuds hanging into your ear. People kind of made fun of how they look a little bit because they're so unusual, but they were delayed for 2 months. And then today, quietly, Apple just put them on sale online, and they're said to be going in stores next week. And this is could be something that's limited, but I think people who were hunting for a gift already probably gave up on Apple and went with another company, because there are other brands out there, you know, of wireless earbuds. But that said, there's a lot going on with these. They're supposed to have a microphone inside that can detect when you're talking and eliminate background noise. You can double tap to have it pull up Siri for voice commands. So it also charges in this little case that looks like floss. like a case of floss.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on for these for $160. And, of course, it's Apple, so that's why. But, you know, Apple also made these other wireless ones from, because they own Beats, you know, the Beats headphone company.
Yeah.
And they're delayed until February. So clearly the technology to have just, you know, little buds sticking out of your ear is like they're having trouble with those. That said, you know, do your homework before buying something just to make sure the connections are decent with other people's reviews.
I went to GameStop yesterday. I had to get something for my son Dylan, who's 14 today. And I just, while I was there, I said, any chance that you get that classic NES system? And they said, no, sorry. But somewhere along the line, an email leaked out that said Best Buy will have some in the stores. Do you know anything about this?
Yeah, we reported on that leak too, but then now everyone knows about it. So people are going to camp out for this thing, and you don't even know if your store is going to get one. It's stressful. I have colleagues here who are going from store to store every time there's a rumor, just trying to find one. It's not exactly great. And Nintendo says, we didn't anticipate this kind of demand. And
they are lying sacks. I'm telling you right now.
I'm thinking you didn't have yourself prepared. Like, are you kidding me?
And this has been going on for a month, right?
I know, so make more of them.
Yeah.
Although we should show them. We won't buy them when they're out there.
You'll see, though. There'll be stacks of them after Christmas. Everywhere you go,
on clearance,
have them.
Everywhere, because everyone's mad.
Yep.
All right, what else is coming up on the CNET update for today other than things we've discussed?
Well... Well, we are talking about all those things and more, but also we just had a recent report out that if you're one of the 7% of people that have a Galaxy Note 7 still, on Monday, there's going to be a software update coming out that will make sure the phone can never be recharged ever again. So kiss that phone goodbye. Although, if you're on Verizon, you don't have to kiss it goodbye. Verizon said publicly that they feel very uncomfortable about pushing out an update like this, and they will not for their customers because they don't want their customers to, you know, lose their phone in the middle of holiday travel. Of course, they don't want their customers to have a blowing up phone either. I don't know. But either way, there you go. A little bit of ease maybe for traveling for the holidays. The people with Note 7s, except on Verizon, won't be able to use their Note 7s anymore.
And this is to tell people, listen, we're serious about this thing blowing up. Go in and exchange it, correct? So they're going to render their phone useless.
Exchange it. You can get another one, anything you want. You can get your money back and put it toward an iPhone if you want. You can do it. You can get your money back. It's kind of ridiculous to hold on to it, although people put their lives in their phones. So I understand it's hard to, you know, do it within a day. But by now, there's been enough warning.
Yeah,
Bridget, you know that video people watch of the Yule log every Christmas? We have a video of a phone blowing up. We just sit around and watch that.
Oh, I love that idea. I do that U-log thing. There's always something weird on YouTube you can do for a U-log.
Yeah.
1 year it was like Darth Vader on fire. You could have that, you know, like at the very end of Star Wars.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. We're not going to talk to you between now and Christmas, so have a happy holiday, Bridget, and a great new year, and keep your dongle warm.
Thank you. You're
welcome.
Talk to you next year. Thank you, Bridget.
Bye.
Bridget Carey from CNET. A quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks very much. Steve's news brought to you by Steve Alexander's Sweat Lodges, 14 great locations, open by Christmas. Earlier in the show, we were talking about how I have a pile, not a pile, I have four newspapers from the day after the Cubs won the World Series, because in my whole life, I didn't think I'd see it. I'm not the only one who could say that. You always thought, yeah, the Cubs, their chances of winning the World Series are pretty slim. So when it happened, there was a frenzy, and everybody just bought it. It was like the 1930s. Everybody was buying newspapers. I voted for Herbert Hoover for some weird reason. I don't know why, but I did. But everybody just went, oh, wow, we have evidence that the Cubs won the World Series. Look, it's on the cover of the newspaper. So I got four of them, and I brought them home, and they're in the exact same place as that. I put them on my desk at home, and they're in the exact same place.
No one even picked them up to look at them?
No. I mean, everyone in my house was thrilled that the Cubs won, but it just, I mean,
business as usual the next day,
yeah,
right?
I guess. I mean, they provided us with an incredible season, lots of thrills, and boy, the day they had the rally and the parade was magnificent. And I have glanced at it a couple of times just to prove that that happened.
Well, we talked about this before. There are plenty of newspapers you saved, like when Barack Obama was elected,
right.
9/11, and they're just in a box in my attic.
Yeah.
I probably, you know, when I'm cleaning the attic someday, or actually when I die,
yeah,
my kids will be looking through it going, oh, wow, look, she hoarded everything.
And then throw it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, we had the paper from the day the moon landing took place.
Oh, yeah.
So that was on there. All right. So we were talking about that for a little bit, and we got a lot of nice texts, and Eric texted us something, and he's on the line right now. Eric, how are you?
Hi, Eric.
I'm doing really well, and I just want to first say I'm a longtime listener, and you guys do a great job. I've listen every day, and it feels like we're just family.
Well, you're so nice. Aww. Thank you very much. And since you're family, I want to ask you if I could borrow some money from you. Not a lot. A couple $100 to get me through the holidays. Eric, you sent the nicest note. We were talking about the Cubs in the World Series, and can you just kind of paraphrase a little bit about what you wrote to us?
So this year, earlier in the year, I was able to get some tickets, and I was trying to think, if anything's going to happen this year, I want to get them late. And it ended up being the game when the Cubs had clinched it the night before.
Yeah.
And so things happened, and I ended up bringing my 3-year-old and 5-year-old to their first game. And my grandma, who she's the reason why I'm a Cubs fan, we went to the game, all of us, and I have a video of her singing Go Cubs Go.
Oh, nice.
Montero hit the grand slam.
That's beautiful. That's great. And did you get a chance to get one of the newspapers? Everybody was just, we work at the Tribune Tower, and there were lines outside, you know, 35, 40 people deep trying to get these papers. Did you get one?
Well, not until hopefully today.
Oh.
But we.
Wow, you got a lead on something?
I have a hot lead.
He's not that hot.
Thanks.
Yes,
thanks.
He is. I, you know.
Well, I saw your text. You sent the nicest text about attending the game with your sons and with your grandmother, and then it said at the end that sadly you weren't able to get a newspaper, and I felt terrible for you, so let's make that right. I have one for you. I'm going to send you one.
I appreciate it, Bill. And I know I didn't get a newspaper, and it's been one of those things you wonder how you're going to be able to get one so you can put it with the tickets and the boys' pictures.
And then a guy named Bill Leff comes through and pretends he's Santa Claus and helps the world.
I'm like Clarence the Angel
you
from
are.
It's a Wonderful Life. That's what I am, except I'm in color and a couple years younger, 3 years younger.
All I can think about is when my boys grow up and they're looking at this picture with the tickets and the copy of the newspaper, they'll be able to tell the story how we got the newspaper.
Yeah, excellent. So, well, I would be happy to send you one then. That'll consider that done. That's my Christmas present to you.
Well, bring in the chair. Thank you.
All right.
Hang on, Eric. We need to get all your vitals. And honestly, I can attest to this. Bill was reading your text off the air, and he said, you know what? Let's try and get him. I want to give him a paper.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
All right.
You guys do a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Merry Christmas.
Stay on the line, and Kevin will get your information.
Thank you.
Doesn't it feel good to give?
You know what? Yeah, it really does. It really does, because it's ridiculous. I have one, and I know I'm going to enjoy it. And
you
I
have
will
four.
Look at it for, I have well, now I have three. The number's quickly dwindling. And I know now we're getting other texts from people that go, "Hey, what about me? I can't give them all away, sadly, but I certainly wanted somebody to have one, so he's got one."
And I think you can go to ChicagoTribune.com, and you can still order one.
Do they have them still?
Yeah,
oh, good.
I think you've been reading it too.
Maybe they just put stuff in front of me. I read whatever they tell me.
But the giving thing feels good, and as a kid, you don't typically feel that way. You know what I mean? It's like
yeah.
You're a kid, you want to get stuff. Today, Dylan is 14 years old, and he said on his birthday he wants to give his brother something. Now, whether or not
a
he'll
noogie.
Deliver, I don't know. But he just said, "I'm going to do something nice for Michael."
Yeah. That's
so we'll see.
I'd be very suspect if I were
I know.
You.
It's like, what did he break? What did he do?
It's gone horribly
Where
wrong.
Where did he steal my credit card?
Keep an eye on him. Something's up. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we've got more show for you. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Wendy, I always kiddingly say, half kiddingly, quarterly kiddingly, that no good deed goes unpunished. You've heard me say this.
You say it a lot. And
no good deed shall go unpunished. I say that all the
true.
Time. I just gave Eric, a listener, who wrote us the nicest text about not having the newspaper from the day after the Cubs won the World Series, and I gave him my paper. I had a couple of them. I have a few
it's
extra.
It's not like it was your last one.
I have
Come
a,
on.
I still, I'm down to
you
three
You got backups.
Now. Right. I have backups. So now a listener writes in at 7:08 to text from them. "Hey, Bill, speaking of paper, I'm out of toilet paper. Any chance I could get any?" It doesn't work that way. I'm not just giving
steal
away.
Steal some from the bathroom.
Yeah, I can get, well, yeah, I guess I could do that. That makes
you
it
get
easy.
Get some of that off.
All right. So wait by your mailbox, 7:08. It'll be arriving.
It's going to be a long wait if right. you're waiting for toilet paper.
Right, right. I don't know what to make of this. You know, you see this all year round, especially in the city where pigeons are pretty plentiful. When you're walking around the city streets, you're going to see some pigeons. And there are certain people that have it in their heart to feed these pigeons. One of them is a woman who is known affectionately as the Pigeon Lady.
Great name.
Mostly because she feeds the pigeons. She doesn't walk like a pigeon or have a beak or anything like that, which would be cool. But she, Wendy... It wouldn't be cool
it
if
would
I
be
had
cool.
It'd be cool to see a woman like that. But just for a moment, and then it would be terrifying. The Pigeon Lady, Wendy, has been fined $3,000 for feeding pigeons and littering in the public way. She's been charged with that. DNA Info is reporting this morning that because she feeds the pigeons various, I guess, seeds. What would you feed pigeons?
Bread.
Bread.
Seeds.
A tort? Would you give them that?
If it's stale, yes.
Yeah. That this has the potential to attract rats and raccoons. So they're fining her $3,000. The alleged bird feeder, Young Kang, who used to be on Kung Fu for years and years. Do you remember Young Kang? Snatched the pigeon feed from my hand. Remember
Grasshopper.
They would say that? Grasshopper. Was one of the reasons that the city beefed up its Don't Feed the Birds ordinance, which you signed, I remember. You and I had a big fight over that. You signed that ordinance.
Feed the birds, tuppence.
Right.
Who didn't Mary Poppins sing that?
I think that is a Mary Poppins
song. There you go.
I think it is. They increased the fine to $1,000 per offense, and they added possible jail time to this. She could go to jail for feeding pigeons. Alderman James Kappelman of the 46th Ward once
called... animal hater.
And noted animal hater, Alderman James Kappelman, once called her a bird-feeding extremist who dumped 3 or 4 pounds of bread on the ground at a time. You'd get a big honking pigeon if you put down a 3 or 4 pound morsel of bread, I bet. Now, after months of surveillance by a... Wow, there was a sting operation.
We can't, you know, put a sting operation at, like, ladies of ill repute houses and or houses of ill repute.
Right.
It's got to be to catch a woman feeding. Just look.
But young Kang is in trouble. And she's been doing this since she was old Kang. That was her name when she was young. And now that she's old, her name is young Kang. How does that happen?
That's a weird world,
now,
though.
After months of surveillance, Wendy, by a property owner sick of the rats and other critters that the bird food has attracted, Kang has been hit with 10 counts and been fined $3,000 by the Department of Administrative Hearings, according to court documents from the 48th Ward. Now, I do have to say, if I had a business nearby and all of a sudden there was an influx of rats, I would say to myself, well, I need to do something. I don't want rats near my business.
Is it really truthfully pulling in the rats, or are the rats there already in the dumpsters and then they're like, well, look, there's food out front?
I wonder. I think they probably, oh boy, that's a tough call.
You know, I don't know if that really adds to the rat problem.
Right.
Because pigeons are just rats with wings. Come on, let's be honest.
No, they are.
So they want to eat all the bread. I don't know that there's a bunch left. I would be more upset about the white stuff that they leave.
Yeah.
That would bother me more.
Yeah.
But still, she can't be fined for feeding the birds.
But you've seen, like, whenever there's pigeons and there's all of a sudden food that's accessible to the pigeons, they don't
get out
leave
of the
any.
Way. Yeah.
They go for it. They're not thinking, well, you know, we're hungry, but I'm sure that there's rats that could also benefit from this, so we'll take a little, leave the rest to our
yeah,
our
they
rat
don't
friends.
Think that way.
Right.
I like that you think pigeons have reasoning skills.
Pigeons are, of the birds, Wendy, are the most reasonable of birds. And the finches. I didn't want to leave them out. Michael Spike King, a maintenance man for a residential building located at 1107 West Glenlake Avenue, said he and the building's owner, Bob Cirkley, spent months combing through surveillance footage. Time well spent, fellas.
God, don't they have anything to do?
I like to binge watch shows, too, but... Go for Game of Thrones or something. What are you guys doing?
Binge-watching the surveillance tapes. Right. That's so funny.
They spent months combing through surveillance footage to provide evidence for the court to prosecute this woman and unnamed accomplices. Oh, she's part of a ring. I didn't realize.
A bird-feeding ring?
A bird-feeding ring, Wendy. I thought she was working on her own, but she's obviously part of a ring. These accomplices drove Kang and then helped her distribute the food. Should those be called accomplices?
No.
They see a woman who just wants to feed birds. They go, hey, hop in the car. I'll take you wherever the birds are. We, along with several other properties, are having a very difficult time with several persons who are leaving foodstuffs and bird seed, not the grocery store chain, and bird seed at various locations, attracting large number of not only birds, but pigeons and now rats, raccoons, and other nocturnal animals. Cirkley wrote to Commander Roberto Nieves of the Rogers Park District in an email which was included in court documents. Do you find this woman at all, much less $3,000, and then also say to her, in addition to the $3,000, you could be looking at jail time? That seems excessive.
You know what you say to her? Don't feed the birds in front of our property.
That gets it done.
Go somewhere else.
Right. If you're a reasonable person and you say to her, look, I have a business here, and the fact that there's rats in front of my business is really hurting me. Can't you find, I know there's other pigeons in the city. Go to a place where they're more plentiful and that there's not a business suffering. That seems reasonable, doesn't it?
Kathy says, guys, this is so foul.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. 48th Ward Public Liaison Officer Marco Zarek attended the hearings to support community members. He said, she didn't want to stop, and this was the only way to go, Zarek said of the alleged pigeon feeder.
Do you think she has $3,000? I sure don't have $3,000 if all of a sudden I got fined for it.
No. Uh-uh. It's something that we wish we didn't have to do, but it has just gotten out of hand.
Tell her to go to Buckingham Fountain and do it.
The
park.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of places. Pigeons are everywhere.
She's just trying to help.
That's all she wants to do. All right, we'll take a quick break. News is coming up next, and then Mark Carman friend of yours, friend of mine, friend to the world, Mark Harmon joins us to talk about fandom.
All right. We've spent all morning long promoting the fact that our friend Mark Harmon's going to be on the
line. One of our best friends, Wendy. One of our finest friends, Mark Harmon.
Somebody who you can always count on.
That's the best thing about Mark is if he says he's going to do something or be somewhere, that's where he is. That's a given.
So quick first question to Mark Harmon. Where the hell are you?
You know, Wendy and Bill, it is true that you know, your friends are people that you can count on. And I'm here for you despite not being able to look at you. I feel like I can see you. And I know that I don't sound as good as if I was sitting right next to you, but I mean, really.
Did something come up where you couldn't come in?
That's probably it. Something important.
Something very important,
from the world of sports.
Right?
Well, I do have a job that that we're going to somewhat talk about right now. We are shooting immense amount of videos today, but there's really not a great excuse that I can give you that I shouldn't have left work just to be with you guys, because you two are the most important people in my life. And despite my actions today, those words are still true, at least to some degree. And
so you forgot, right?
Did you forget? Forgot?
Yeah, I did. I did forget.
All right.
That's true. That's true. And I know that's offensive.
No, we don't care.
Well, I feel bad. I do. And
you don't have to feel bad, because we just wanted to say hi. We're going to let you go. And
have a great holiday, Mark.
We just wanted to wish you happy Hanukkah and all that and more.
Well, that just seems unfulfilling. And again,
all right.
I'll do my best to make it up to you. I know that you know, I've let Bill beat me in tennis once. I thought that was enough. But
right.
Perhaps I need to do more.
All right.
No,
all right.
You're good, Mark.
That's fine. All right. Explain this to us, because there's a website that Kevin alerted us to, our chief, our boss, our producer, and it's called Fandom 250, but the website...
Fandom. Jean-Claude Fandom.
Apparently Dom DeLuise has a fan site called Fandom.com. Fansided.com. But what is the Fandom 250? What is that exactly?
Well, you know, Bill, I think what we're trying to get to here is that, you know, we have so many people making high-profile decisions, but really at the end of the day, it's not about the media. It's about the fan. It's about the person that actually has the passion, and that is the fan. And henceforth, the Fandom 250 is the greatest 250 fan bases, not just in sports, but also in entertainment, in politics. I mean, we have... in our top 20, both Donald Trump and the Obamas, very passionate, both, you know, different people, but equally passionate about the president-elect and the current president, that type of thing. And then you have, like, a fan like yourself. I'm sure that deep down in you, Bill Leffler, Wendy, Batman and Star Trek, Pokemon, all these things are, you know, you're very passionate. I mean, for me, Bill, it's John McEnroe and Jimmy Connors, you know, Michael Jordan, of course. The Bulls are in there, and near and dear to our city. I mean, Fanside, we are based in Chicago, and the Cubs didn't win the World Series, so this was a year. This is going to be a yearly thing that Cub fans deserve to be anointed number one.
See, that makes sense, because the Cubs were all the rage, and that should be number one. I haven't looked at all of them. You mentioned Michael Jordan. Is he on there solo, or is he just encompassed within the Chicago Bulls?
He's encompassed with the Bulls, but you know there are
He should be solo, don't you think?
I would think,
because even just with his gym shoes.
I mean, listen, if Prince and Rihanna and Dwayne the Rock Johnson and the Kardashians all have a number, Michael should as well. But unfortunately, I'm not at the top of the food chain at Fansided, and don't get to make those type of decisions. Michael Jordan, Jumpman. I'm sorry, I'm incorrect, or I'm being corrected by upper management. He's number 67.
Oh, all right.
Which is
I'm glad we got someone who knew about this list to talk about this list. Carmen, you're the best.
Well, you know, I mean, 250 people. When you don't have Michael in the top 10, I stop looking for Michael, because I feel like you just made a huge error.
Right.
But Mike is 67. So
I bet the Chicago Bears aren't on it at all.
Bears, you know, this is a very down year for the Bears, Wendy. The Blackhawks have made the list, which they deserve to be. But the Bears, I mean, how could you even put Bears fans out there? Have you seen prices to Bear games? If you go out to Soldier Field, they're actually handing out tickets on the street.
They're paying you to take the tickets, I heard. That's what someone told me.
Yeah, yes. So that's the Bears fans are great, and but I don't think right now they deserve it.
The
New York
they don't.
Jets are 170. Right.
They are.
Exactly.
How often do the rankings change, Mark? Is this a daily changing or constantly? How often are they updating the rankings?
Well, this is going to be a yearly thing, but just like power rankings, Bill, you know, every week somebody's sliding up, sliding down in Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA. We, deep in the offices of FanSided, are continuing to work on those. We don't necessarily put them out every week, but it is at least a three-hour discussion on a Friday as to who's going up and who's going down, what fans have shown up to be the most passionate within the week. It's not something that's willy-nilly over here. Just, you know, that it's always being worked on.
What number is willy-nilly?
That's just a phrase, Willie. Wow. That's not a person.
Leonardo DiCaprio, I should mention, is 231. I don't know if that feels good for either of you. Does that excite you? Lululemon, Bill. Do you wear Lululemon?
I'm wearing Lululemon as we speak, Mark.
223 for Lululemon.
Oh, that's not bad.
Right. I mean, people are passionate about their Lululemon. I know that I like to wear mine when I'm doing a hot yoga. It really takes the sweat in well, mm-hmm. and it's a comfortable look for you.
It's always a hot yoga when you're doing it, Mark. all right. I was whining earlier about not really having a passion. I like The Walking Dead. Are they on there?
Do you really watch The Walking Dead? How are you feeling about this season with Negan and company here, Wendy?
I love Negan. I love Negan.
I was going to say, you should be a Negan. I feel you as Negan. That's your bad side coming out right there.
Mm-hmm.
The Walking Dead is way up on the list. As Walking Dead fans like you are very passionate. The Walking Dead is
I love his stall tactic. Isn't it good?
I know it's number seven. I wanted to build up a little bit of drama here. Come on now. Number seven, The Walking Dead. Right.
That's
ahead
up
of
there.
The Ohio State Buckeyes and behind Netflix. Game of Thrones is our number one show currently going. That's number four.
What about Star Wars? Is that on there at all?
Star Wars is number two. I mean, you're talking about complete lunatics.
Oh, I know.
And
what's
and
the only thing that beat the only thing that beat Star Wars is what?
The Cubs.
The Cubs.
The Cubs are the number one of all the things that you can be a fan about. The Cubs are the top of the heap.
And I'll bet you with them not winning, I bet Star Wars was number one. There are tons of fans, and they're so loyal.
Sure, sure. Mark, what about this? There are some things on here. I like to consider myself pretty well up on pop culture, but there's a couple of things on here that I have no idea what it is. What is Naruto? It's number 237. Naruto, what is that?
Well, Naruto is one of the great fandoms, Bill, as you know. Naruto is one of my favorites as well. This is now I am fully into a great style.
Yeah, he has no idea. Isn't it like an anime cartoon? Naruto.
Naruto.
It's Naruto. You two are dummies. Where does Bill and Carms come in?
I mean, I knew that this was a danger. I knew this was a dangerous proposition to have me talk about this list. But since I am
Kevin, why don't you help them out? What's Naruto?
It's about a young boy who dreams of becoming the world's greatest ninja. He could have easily have blended in with dozens of other anime franchises.
Anime?
Brought it up in Japan. Yeah, right, that. Much of the credit, Wendy, goes to its original creator. That would be Kishimoto.
Are you reading this?
No, never. I wouldn't do that. That's not something I would do. Volumes of they've sold hundreds of millions of copies in dozens of countries. So now Naruto, if you'd like me to get the entertainment expert in here, Josh Hill, he could tell you more about Naruto. Naruto, mm-hmm.
You make me laugh,
question, Carl. Well done,
Mark. I was actually thinking of Menudo. I asked the wrong. I pronounced it incorrectly. I apologize to you. I'm sorry.
You know, I got to be honest. I'm really glad that I didn't come in today because you would like the horror that's on my face right now. It's better that it's hidden.
You're doing fine. Your ranking just went up on here on FanSided. I just saw you go up from 18 to 31. Oh, that's down. Wait, I did that wrong. All right. So, what's the biggest surprise for you? What's the one thing on here that has a bunch of fans that you'd say to yourself, "I'm shocked that anyone even liked that thing," but look at how highly it's ranked.
Well, I think when you look at a movie like Teen Wolf, how does Teen Wolf stand the test of time.
I was just looking at that because I'm shocked that that's on the list.
It's a movie and a TV show.
This is the MTV series,
right? It moved into TV show form, but like really, like think about when you saw Teen Wolf and Michael J. Fox standing on the top of whatever that vehicle was doing his little wave, that here he would be in 2016, the Teen Wolf, which resonated with me because it had the, you know, the hoop angle, you know, Michael J. Fox dunking a basketball. Going
Michael J. Fox in the first one, Mark, but do you remember who was the star of Teen Wolf 2?
I didn't see Teen Wolf 2.
Wendy?
Justin Bateman?
Jason Bateman.
Jason. Yeah, I was thinking Justine. I got him mixed up. But it was Jason Bateman?
Jason Bateman in Teen Wolf 2, yeah. All right, so now it's spun off into a TV show on MTV, and people love it. And where is that ranked, Teen Wolf?
Teen Wolf is number 193.
Well, all right.
Above, like, Westworld. And things like that. I think that's crazy.
Except Westworld's really new, and Teen Wolf has been on for a bit.
It's Teen Wolf.
I know.
Now, who was polled in this Fandom 250?
Well, it's really, to be honest, we have so many websites at FanSided. It's gauged by passion and engagement and comments. And, I mean, we do a show here, Winter is Coming, which is around Game of Thrones. And when this thing pops up on Facebook Live, these people come out of the woodworks, Wendy. It's unbelievable. They're like sitting by their computers just waiting to learn where's the next set of Game of Thrones, what's going to happen, what character is going to die, all that type of stuff. I mean, people are on the edge of their seats. So it's for a bunch of these. So that's how it's basically, we're talking about passion and we're talking about depth. But so equally weighted, if you will. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And you mentioned Teen Wolf was 193. Below it at number 219 is Indiana Jones. There is no way that is below Teen Wolf. Bill, would you agree?
Yeah, it seems hard to fathom, but I guess.
Well, think about Indiana Jones right now. I mean, how often do you hear Indiana Jones mentioned nowadays? It's just, you know, there's not a, we do have a.
How often do you hear, I guess Teen Wolf's currently on MTV, right?
It's still on.
That's kind of the deal there. But Indiana Jones, one of the greatest characters in movie history. I think you have a viable argument. And if you'd like to take that up with Patrick Allen, Josh Hill, Matt Verderam, I can provide you with
those emails.
Don't
do it, Wendy. No,
I'm good.
Don't do it.
Muhammad Ali, number 98. I think he should be a little higher.
I agree. But, you know, Muhammad, maybe the greatest sports figure of all time. You can easily make that argument. But I think there is, it's in reality, it's a long time now, and he has recently passed away. So he's still in the top 100, still there. But the passion, I think, is waning a tad bit on Ali, although LeBron James is producing a movie on Muhammad Ali, which is pretty cool. So,
Mark,
keeping the name alive, yes.
Will fansided.com have a year-end party in which they invite all 250 participants to have dinner together?
This is a startup company, Bill, and there is a big party coming for the seven people, maybe 10 in the office, and we have been able to accrue a gift certificate to Papa John's Pizza.
Nice.
We might have soda as well. Not exactly sure. There is water in the office that is provided a complimentary, along with some coffee products as well. So I'm not sure about inviting all 250. That could be slightly ahead of the budget here, but maybe we can reach out to the bosses at Time Inc. and they might throw more down for us. That's always possible, but I don't know if that's actually in the works quite yet.
But it would be so much fun to have Justin Timberlake and Lady Gaga and Ghostbusters and Teen Wolf sitting at the same table. I would love that.
Already have Donald Trump and Kanye. They're starting the whole Fandom 250.
Two of them are already together.
Well, I mean, I hear the Don
the Don and the Con.
They're on the way. And I think that would be an interesting experience for all of us. You guys could come if you'd like.
I mean,
I think WGN Radio is a lock to be in at least top 200 in the 2017 version, and Bill and Wendy will be leading it.
Thank you, Mark.
Can you hang on a second?
Sure.
All right, Mark Carman. We're talking to him. He's a host. He's a sports reporter at fansided.com. You can go to the website fansided.com and look for the Fandom 250, and we will discuss a couple more items on this list that I disagree with coming up next at 720 WGN.
Mark Carman is with us on the phone. We couldn't get enough security here in the building, so he is elsewhere. But he's telling us about fansided.com, This is a great way, if you're a fan of anything, if you're a fan of a sports team or a band or a TV show or a movie or a person.
Lena Dunham is on this list.
Lena Dunham is on this list.
How did that happen?
Oh.
I like Lena Dunham. You guys are anti-Lena?
I'm fine with her. Wendy's not thrilled with her.
No, I'm not anti-Lena Dunham. I just, the last picture I saw was her sitting on her toilet with her skirt up.
Oh.
I mean, I'm counting the minutes to the last season of Girls. I don't know what you guys are doing with your life.
I guess, I don't watch the show, so that would have something to do with it.
Mark, I'm not in any way trying to discredit fansided.com. That's not what I do, but the Beatles are number 52, and Justin Bieber is number 37.
Well, the Beatles aren't still together.
No, they brought that was no.
You're not a Belieber?
How many? Yeah. Right now, Bill, if you could bring back John Lennon and you could rise up George Harrison and you could bring all four Beatles out to Wrigley Field, then you would have, I think then the Beatles actually would probably be number one. Unfortunately, I don't think you can do that. I wish you could. I'd love to see it. I think in their heyday, the Beatles, probably the most popular band of all time. But we're talking about right now. We do have to live in the present as much as all of us want to live in the past. I don't think you can have a problem with that.
So you're saying today I've got Paul and Ringo and then a zombie John and a zombie George playing at Wrigley Field. That's the only thing that would propel them above Justin Bieber?
Yes.
Right.
I think right now, I mean, the Beliebers, you're talking about a massive force of people here.
No, I get it. All right. Okay.
I mean, the dude was, was he discovered at the age of 10?
Yeah, he's been singing a long time. All right.
I'm not going to come clean and tell you that I listen to Justin Bieber every morning when I get up and that's how I get motivated. But, that might be true.
How come Batman has his own square, but Superman and Supergirl share a square in fandom?
Good question.
Spare a square?
I can't. Not in this case. I think they should have their own squares.
I'm not going to sit here and defend things that are indefensible, and I think you have a great point there.
All right.
That'll be taken up with upper management as well. Do you have any other issues that I can bring?
No, everything else is great. The website looks great. The margins are spectacular.
And can I tell you, I think NASCAR should be higher on the list. I really do, because there are a lot of NASCAR fans out there. It's number 71.
Yeah, but don't you just get a little bit uncomfortable with NASCAR? Doesn't it make you feel better that there's at least a little bit of distance? Have you ever been to a NASCAR event?
I've been to the Motor Speedway in Joliet. I guess it wasn't really NASCAR.
I've been on the Dan Ryan.
Yeah. I guess I have to...
It's very popular, Mark.
It is. It absolutely is. I think we have perhaps a Chicago bias against NASCAR that might be impacting the number 71. But I mean, 70... Where would you like to put him, Wendy?
Where would you put NASCAR, Wendy?
I think NASCAR needs to be in the top 50. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So would you, take off Hamilton? Because, I think you can make a Hamilton's, crushing. Would you take Prince out of there?
Nope.
Would you take...
I'd take some sports team.
Adele?
Just any random... No, you
no.
can't take Adele
no,
out.
No, not Adele.
Mark,
the Lakers?
Bite your tongue. No.
The Red Sox?
No.
I don't know much.
I don't know. There's room for everybody.
I'd take all the sports ones out.
You know what's not on the list?
Except the Cubs and the White Sox and the Blackhawks.
You know what's not on the list, Mark, that needs to be on here is saltines.
I like saltines. That's
Why
a
isn't
great
that on
cracker.
Here? All right.
What do you put on your saltine, Bill, or do you just go straight at it?
I eat it raw. I like it raw.
That's not nice raw.
On a saltine.
It's plain. Raw.
Raw sounds more dangerous.
Raw saltines should be on the list. I'll tell you, it's really fun looking through it. And listeners, you can go to fansided.com, FANSIDED.com, and look for the Fandom 250, which was just released.
You know what else is not on here? BlissTex. Why isn't BlissTex on here?
Because CarMax bypassed it.
That's Mark's. That's Mark's company.
You're rich.
Yeah.
I'm a regular cold sore guy, so I've tried.
Don't say that on the air.
And you're not married admitting to that, Mark?
Mark, always off the air, and Bill, you can attest to this. I always say, why is he not married? He's funny. He's talented. He's cute.
Smells like a million bucks.
It's the cold sore talk.
It's got to be the cold sore talk.
There's a lot of deep-seated issues, too, Wendy. If you can spare some time, I'd like to discuss them with
I'm
you. Maybe you can
busy.
Help.
A lot of angst. Mark, it's always fun to talk to you, way better than seeing you in person. The website, again, is called fansighted.com. It features the Fandom 250. Some people call it Fandom 250. I don't understand it. Mark, have a great holiday. Thanks for being here.
I love you guys. Thank
love you,
you
back. All right.
Love you. Thank you.
The lovely and talented Mark Harmon.
I do love him.
He's lovable.
He can't whip out the cold sore talk
no.
on the air.
You lay low on the cold sore talk. All right. A
Good
quick break.
God.
Some news is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It is part two of our show. It's Bill and it's Wendy. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. But before we do or say anything else, we want to wish a happy anniversary to somebody.
To me, right?
Kim Gordon celebrating, and your husband celebrating 31 years together.
31 years in a month.
Yeah. Happy anniversary to both of you.
Thanks.
You know what's going to happen now that you've made fun of me for being a nice coworker and a nice work friend?
What's that?
On her real anniversary next year for Kim's 32nd,
yeah.
We'll forget to say
nothing.
It.
You
we'll
will. You'll
nothing.
Forget it. Mark it down right now, November 30th.
Also, Kevin shared something with us that I think is nice. Yesterday, toward the end of the show, we were giving helpful hints from Men's Fitness about things that guys, if you want to find a lady, you might want to try these things.
I can remember a couple. Act older.
Right.
Grow some facial hair.
That was one. Yep.
I don't remember any of the other ones.
Give more. Like if you have a little extra to give, women like it if men are more
charitable.
Charitable, yeah. So those were all among the things. And one of them was, I think it was the last one we mentioned, that if you're a guy and you're trying to attract a woman, you should use deodorant. And Kevin, what did you tell me during the break?
Trying it out today.
And?
Stings a little bit.
Does it? Sure. There's a little bit of a burn, but I think it's worth it.
I hope you get antiperspirant plus deodorant.
No.
It doesn't cost extra.
Start small.
Baby steps. Yeah.
I have a question about that because with two teenage boys, I buy a lot of deodorant.
Axe?
No, I refuse to let them wear that. But I have to
it
laugh.
It smells like insect repellent.
I'm sure there are people listening right now that wear Axe.
I'm sure it smells great on them.
No, but stop wearing it.
Yeah.
And stop overusing it.
Yes.
Buy
with
some real cologne.
Boys, all of my kids used to spray it. And my house reeked. It was almost worse than walking past Abercrombie.
Did they have the loud music going, too?
Of course. Three different types from three different rooms.
And they would use Axe. That was the official deodorant of the board. Yeah.
Well, see, now you know what all the rage is, and I'm embarrassed to say it.
What's that?
Old Spice.
That's what Kevin uses.
I know. So we think of Old Spice.
My kids use it, too, for their soap.
Really?
Okay,
yeah.
But when you think of it, don't you think of your grandpa?
An old guy.
Every
An
time.
An old guy.
They've changed it. They have various scents. Which scent do you use, Kev?
I go with the Pure Sport.
Pure Sport scent, yeah.
I think Dylan goes with Swagger.
Oh, is he using
That's my son's scent of
Swagger.
Choice also, Swagger.
It smells pretty good,
it does,
I have
honestly,
to tell you.
It does.
And it's Old Spice.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's so weird, because Old Spice has the name right in it. It's old.
Right.
But kids today, these kids today,
with
Bill,
their deodorants.
They are all over the Old Spice. There are about 50 different scents of it. And as I'm going through it, looking for Swagger for Dylan, and I can't remember which one Michael uses. I can't remember. They have really...
Is it Matterhorn? I believe that's
no,
one also.
There's...
Are they naming them after Disney rides now?
It really bothers me that they have all these names.
I'm wearing Pirates of the Caribbean. What do you
smells
think?
Smells like rum.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Not embarrassed about that at all.
I got to find out what scent because it's going to drive me nuts. They have, it's the world's number one deodorant, but that's
Old
according
Spice
to
is.
Them.
Boy, you're right, though, because for us, when we were growing up, if you put Old Spice on, you were somebody's grandpa. Is he trying Vitalis? Does he have any Vitalis
no.
on him?
No. Was that aftershave?
Grecian formula?
There's Red Zone. There's Vivid. I think Michael uses Vivid.
Yeah.
All these different spices of Old Spice, the Red Collection.
But those names are so ambiguous. Like, I don't know what Vivid or Swagger smell. I mean, I guess Swagger, you're selling cool. What are you selling with Vivid?
I don't know, Bill. You know what I do? I open up the lid and smell them.
Yeah?
And evidently that's what they've done. So I have purchased the Old Spice. But what bothers me is, honestly, there's a whole huge display of 10 different flavors of Old Spice deodorant. Mm-hmm. And you have to look closely because some are just deodorant. Now, deodorant just covers up the odor, deodorant. And the antiperspirant is the one that prevents you from sweating. So you need the combo of both.
Yeah, why wouldn't you get both?
That's my question. So why do they even have just deodorant?
See, I go deodorant only. Full disclosure.
Well, some people maybe don't sweat.
You don't pit out?
You know, well, I made the switch at one point, and I started sweating more with the antiperspirant, so I switched back to deodorant.
But everyone sweats to some extent, Kim, don't they? You'd have to. Something's wrong if you're not...
Some people sweat in various places.
Yeah, and some people sweat a lot more than others. Yeah.
I had a sweating problem when I was growing up.
Yeah.
I became a woman at 10.
Yeah.
I made the change very early.
Yeah.
And it's... I see pictures of myself from like dances and stuff, and there's a little wetness, not even a little, quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I always wore antiperspirant. But Kevin, now this is funny that you say this, because my son Michael says that his deodorant makes him sweat more, and I said that can't possibly be true.
Antiperspirant makes him sweat more.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm. See, that's how I.
It's supposed to be against perspiring.
I know. I remember this was like early college. I made the switch. I can't remember why, but I was like, okay, I seem to be sweating, so I'm switching. I'm trying to find the antiperspirant because I've always been a deodorant guy.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason.
Couldn't everybody in the free world say that same thing?
No, because usually it's combined antiperspirant and deodorant, but now you're opening my eyes to something. I learned so much from Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very knowledgeable in the deodorant world.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so deodorant makes you sweat less? And covers up the smell.
For me, yes. I don't know why it is. Maybe my body has grown accustomed to deodorant, and yeah, I don't know.
It should never make you sweat more, though. Something's gone horribly wrong if deodorant's making you sweat more.
I swear to God, I would put deodorant on it. And my mom had this problem when she was growing up, too. It's just, you know, you hit puberty quicker, and your glands are very active.
Right.
And my poor mom used to have to insert...
Put a Twinkie under her arm. Back in those days, that's what women wore, a Twinkie under their arms. That was acceptable back then. You can't do that anymore.
No, but they make like sweat pads. They make like underarm garment pads that you sew into your blouses or your dresses.
Do they still do that? Or that was just
I don't know. But it's funny because the more I would sweat, the more I would worry about sweating, the more I would sweat.
Yeah, of course.
And it's like I pitted out of everything.
Oh, no.
It's just I couldn't help it. Now I really...
So is having this sewn into your clothing to save your clothing? Or
no,
is it
so
to
it doesn't
make you
show.
Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Can I tell you my sweating story?
Sure. Steve, it wouldn't be Christmas
if you
didn't. Are you
a heavy sweater? He's a Christmas sweater.
This has been a sweat-heavy show, by the way.
Yeah,
sweat lodges. Yeah.
Yep.
I really thought you were talking to Alexander when I heard you talking about sweating. Back when Michael Dukakis was running for president, late 80s, he was on the west side at this women's incubator thing, and I was over there. And back then, you could get much closer to the candidates, and we were across like a conference table in this warehouse where these women were showing what they made and everything.
Uh-huh.
So you had to reach with your microphone, stand there for like, he's talking for 5 or 10 minutes. At that time, I sweated profusely.
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm dripping on these, you know, woolen mittens that these West Side women were making. And Dukakis,
you're not supposed to get wool wet either.
Mm-mm.
Dukakis stops the news conference and he looks at me and says, "Are you okay?"
Oh, my no. God, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I said, "I am, but I don't think you are."
He was so concerned about you, Steve.
It was kind of it was an overwhelming sort of, I think you could hear the dripping.
And then were you, to compound the sweating, then you're embarrassed because you got a presidential candidate asking you if you're okay.
Right, exactly. It was bad.
All right, well, they're called dress shields, by the way.
Oh, they are.
And I mean, really, it sucked being a teenager you know, I'm pitting out.
Yeah.
I couldn't help it. There was nothing else I could do. Now I don't have that problem, but.
What changed?
I just grew into myself.
Oh all right.
Because, you know, when you're 10 years old and your
hormones
are acting up,
right.
Don't pay her.
That's for sure. All right. Look at all the calls. As soon as you start talking about sweat and everybody.
Well, we all wear deodorants. I wear both, the combo of both, and maybe I'm going to switch now.
Yeah. All right. We'll get to your calls and your texts. We're at 312-981-7200.
Are you okay, Steve?
Steve, is everything all right?
It will be.
Bill and Wendy, WGN.
I had a sweating problem when I hit puberty.
You're not afraid to talk about it. Well, finally, a face on sweating, and it's your face, Wendy. Thank you for providing that. A lot of people don't want to talk about it. You're not embarrassed.
I always had to get dark-colored dresses for the dances because if I got something like a light blue, you'd see me sweat through it.
No one wants that.
I mean, it's, you know, it's stuff that happens.
Sure. And as a former sweater, I just want to thank you
for coming out.
For stepping forward.
Somebody needed to.
Doing this. It's a leadership thing. It's courage, really. Thank
you. It sucked. But you know what? Thank God I got through it. But I think, you know, those teenage years, you worry about it, and it made me sweat more.
Somebody texted in high school, was your nickname Sweaty Haskell? That wasn't your nickname. Who would type that?
I'd like to see you in high school. No, actually, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have looked at you.
It's exactly what I look like now. Exactly.
And you know what I'm talking about, right?
Did you say Anne?
Yes, Anne.
Oh, my God. Well, I was telling your screener that I definitely think it's a self-esteem and a confidence issue because as I got older, the problems seemed to have gone away.
I know.
I know. Anyway, I was a new teacher. I taught, well, now it's keyboarding, but it was typing.
Right.
And I would sweat so profusely that in between classes, I would run into the bathroom and put paper towels by my pits.
Wow.
And, you know,
I'm going to start a support group. Listen to everybody coming out. Steve Bertrand and I can be the co-chairs.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so horrible. Anyway, as a typing teacher, you had to walk around and make sure the kids' fingers were on the right keys and blah, blah, blah. Well, one day at the end of the class, I went to replace the paper towels, and one was missing. And you dream about, like you have talked about, you wake up in the middle of the night that you missed a test.
Right.
I still, to this day, wake up in the middle of the night. What happened to that towel? Whose typewriter did it end up on?
Wow.
Yeah, it's something that you couldn't prevent. And you know about those dress shields? I think I just put them in like one special outfit because I didn't want to pit out and look terrible.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It would go around those shields.
I know.
It would still make the whole, it was horrible. It was a horrible, horrible problem. But thank God with age and confidence, it's gone away.
Well, good. Thanks for sharing that, Ann. And if we ever start weekly meetings, we'll keep you posted.
Let me know.
Thank you so much. It's true. You put a dress shield and it was like, a circle, but it would fold in half, like top of your arm and bottom of your arm.
Yeah.
And if you were sweating so much, all of a sudden, maybe you wouldn't have a mark under your arm, but it would be a little like 4 inches over because the shield wasn't big enough. I needed like a whole like sleeve made of armor or something. It was terrible. I don't know what else to say. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not sweating right now.
Well, I have the opposite problem. I sweat, but very, very, very little. I don't wear deodorant or antiperspirant at all. Haven't in years.
And you don't smell?
I do not smell.
What
nothing.
About what if you do something strenuous? What if you're working out or running or doing yard work? It still doesn't happen for you?
There is no odor at all.
That's a miracle.
Huge bicyclist,
yeah,
and there's nothing, there's no odor. It's wonderful.
That's fantastic. I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it.
Now, has that
I save a lot of money. I save $4 a month.
Yeah, easily.
Bertrand, you had a question.
Has that been independently verified, or is it just your opinion?
Right, because you don't smell yourself.
No, my girlfriend says that I don't have any odor either, and it ticks her off because she can get out of the shower, and we'll go for a ride.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes later, she's got it. She's got the woo, as I call it.
The woo?
The woo. Woo!
I call it chicken soup. That's what it smells like.
Oh, no.
Enjoy your lunch. All right. Well, Jeff, congratulations, I guess.
Yay. Bye.
Yay.
Did Progresso just cancel, Kevin? They did? All right. We lost a sponsor.
Rocky, what's your deal?
I'm allergic to the aluminum chloride in antiperspirant.
Now, and that's in all antiperspirant, right? Aluminum chloride?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
That's the agent use to prevent the sweating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I can't wear it, so.
So what do you do instead?
Sometimes I can wear deodorant for a while, but that doesn't do much. I use a lot of baby powder, and I sit by myself a lot. So
I'd put an Airwick solid under each of my arms. Just walk around with that.
The stick up. Yeah. That'd be better. It would fit better, more
or
comfortably.
Or some Febreze or something.
Well, now I think the aluminum and antiperspirant has been linked to tumors and cancer. So I do know they make like these rocks now. It's like a giant salt block, and you're supposed to wet it and put it under your arm. Have you tried that, Rocky?
No, I'll pass on that one.
No.
I'll just go ahead and stink and then put me over in the corner.
That's the right attitude.
Have a great stinky Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rocky.
So you had me bring mine in because you said there some deodorants are do not contain the antiperspirant element, but mine, I go with Arid Double X.
And fresh scent?
Well, no, I use the Zesty Cajun. It has sort of a New Orleans flair.
Lots of paprika in it.
Yeah, there's some paprika. And mine does contain its antiperspirant and deodorant. I don't know why you'd get one that didn't have both.
Well, we realized that's why. There has been an aluminum issue with a lot of people, and that's why I guess I'm seeing all the deodorant. But you have
without antiperspirant.
Yeah. Mm. I thought the combo platter was the way to go.
Yeah. Yep.
Huh. All right. And there is something that I know for a fact. You can, some doctors have been injecting Botox, not for wrinkles on your face, but in the sweat glands under your arms or wherever you have a heavy sweating problem. Because basically what Botox does is it's botulism.
Freezes it.
It paralyzes the muscles or the nerves.
Yeah.
So it'll paralyze your sweat glands.
How often would you have to have that done? Is that like a...
I had Botox done once, and they said that you have to come back usually every 6 months, and I never went back.
Oh.
So I don't know about the sweating incident. Look who's on the line. Hey, Ruben, what's going on?
Hello. First, congratulations for your program. I called a month ago for Ecuador in South America.
Oh, it's you, Ruben.
It's Ruben.
Hey, excellent. Welcome back.
Hey, guys, you are the only guys in the world who can make a radio program about the other. Incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you for that. Thank you.
Are you a heavy sweater, Ruben? Is it warm in Ecuador?
Yeah. Oh, well, in the city where I live, which is Guayaquil, the weather is 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Here it's 35 degrees Celsius all year round. 35.
Wow.
It's a scorching, and we've got humidity. So the point is this. The deodorants are marketed here, saying that they've got this new technology and it's activated by heat. So if somebody goes to the United States and brings deodorants to Ecuador, let's say that it doesn't work quite well because the deodorants we're in here are activated by heat. And because it's very hot, it's like the perfume, the hotter, it activates, so they work.
Oh, that's
they say that degree.
On the other hand, no offense, on the other hand, no offense, but when we have Europeans and Americans, they don't realize it, that they bring the American deodorants here, and here the weather is scorching, and they don't realize that deodorants don't work.
How about that? But you're right, Wendy. There is one here in the States.
Degree. Now, what do you have over in Ecuador that is heat sensitive? What's your deodorant?
Well,
what brand?
We've got Axe and all the commercial ones, but I think that the ones that come to hot countries are kind of different. But we've got the same brand. I was listening to you talking about Old Spice and all those. We do have those, but we have, like, different kinds or something like that for hot, scorching countries. So very interesting.
Maybe I should have I'll send you some money and you can send me some hot deodorant.
Try that.
It could be. Yes, there are some people who do have. Imagine, here it's a scorching. We've got these. Deodorants with this amazing technology, and anyway, they got their issues with deodorants. But I suppose that the ones that are worn here in hot countries work better because they are more effective, I would think.
Yeah,
and
that
again,
makes sense.
In countries like the United States, you have hot weather, let's say just for 2 or 3 months. We have this kind of weather for the whole year, so it's different, you know.
Do they have Lady Speed Stick in Ecuador?
Oh, yes.
They
My wife wears Lady Speed.
She does.
That again, I guess there must have some different technology for sure. I think it definitely works because of that. It's heat activated.
Well, Ruben.
That's how they mention it on television.
Call back anytime, but we're really late for Steve Bertrand's news. And since you listen a lot, you know he gets crabby if we're late. So we got to run.
Hang up, Ruben.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas.
Feliz
you
Navidad.
You too, Ruben. How sweet is that?
Very nice.
All right, quick break and then Cranky with the news. You're on 720 WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And you know how Oprah has her favorite things.
Of course.
This is kind of like that, but it's only one favorite thing. And it happened a couple of years ago. Harry Carey's restaurant produced these holy cow potato chips, not just any potato chip, their delicious potato chip dipped in chocolate. And CEO of Harry Carey's restaurant group, Grant DePorter, in the studio with us. Thank you for creating these magical things.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks. You made them famous a few years ago, and our phones just went nuts. So it's been fun. People wait for this one moment when we come out with our chips.
It's like Oprah and our favorite things.
Very
I'm telling
similar.
You.
Very, very similar. Here's why. There's all kinds of things that have chocolate in them, and they're fine. And potato chips are always going to be good. But somehow the marriage of those two together, and I don't take it lightly because the right flavor balance is so key to this, that the flavor just explodes. They're so good. I look forward to this. I mean, I love the Christmas holidays, Grant, but especially when these chips are out, it's the best snack there is. I don't know how you do it.
Well, Reader's Digest had picked our potato chips without the chocolate as the number one best munchie in America. So now you add the chocolate and you go.
Even better.
Yeah, how do you?
Even better.
That's what it is. I mean, the kettle cooked chips that you guys serve at Harry Carey's, amazing on their own. The chocolate you use is outstanding. And a lot of people have copied this in the last 2 years when you came out with these. Yeah. I never saw a chocolate covered chip before you guys started it. And now there are just others that pale in comparison.
Well, those are like mass produced with preservatives and all kinds of
stuff.
You
make each one of these chips
by hand.
Yeah, they're hand dipped. Yeah.
Three or four craftsmen working around the clock to create each and every chip.
Talk about Santa's elves.
Right.
They're very, very labor intensive.
Now, here's a question. In previous years, you've done dark chocolate and milk chocolate, and this year it's only dark chocolate.
Yeah.
How come?
Because it was overwhelmingly people were going for the dark chocolate.
Is that
really?
True? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you and I are the only ones that like the milk chocolate.
I love them both.
They are both
good. The
milk
chocolate is that's my favorite, but please.
I think it was like a 90% in favor of dark chocolate.
Yeah, but you know why, though? Everybody is very health conscious, and dark chocolate's supposed to be very good for you. However, it's on a potato chip. So it's not, you're not going for the health reasons there.
I think the dark went better with the potato chip, though.
Do you? It fits better? The flavor's better?
I think so.
All right. So now to get these is a little challenging, right?
Yes.
For people who
you
are hearing this.
You made them too famous.
They're too famous. That's the problem. These are too famous. But people will hear this and they'll say, oh, I've got to try these and make sure they're as good as Wendy says.
Oh, they are.
And they are. But it's a little tricky as to how to obtain them, right?
Yeah, people were anticipating this moment hitting, so they were sending us emails well in advance saying, please, you know, save me some. So, and we don't make unlimited amount of chips. So right now, we're processing those, and we don't know how many we're going to have at the end. So people could be like on a waiting list. Just email holycow@harrycarys.com or check out Harry Carey's Facebook page, Harry Carey's Restaurant's Facebook page, and they'll update if in
a flash sale.
Yes, it'll be like that. We'll know how much we actually have after all these pre-orders.
So your potato chips are like the Hamiltons of snack foods, right?
Yes, exactly.
It's hard
like
to
Hamilton.
Get them, but when you get them, you see why everybody loves them.
Yes.
All right, that makes sense.
All right, if they're hand-dipped, here's my question. Why isn't there a bald spot of no chocolate where a finger is holding it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, because
when you dip it in the chocolate, there would be a little bald spot where the finger is holding on to the, of course, a gloved finger.
Velvet glove, probably.
Yeah, it's magic holiday, like elves coming.
Right.
It's a secret.
All dressed. Yeah. They all have giant glasses. Harry carries glasses, too, while they make the chips.
Yeah, they do. They scream holy cow as they're doing it.
There's probably some kind of chip clip type thing where they dip it in so they don't need to use
it's
a finger.
It's a trade secret. Grant is not at liberty to say.
I know.
He's
I don't
not
blame
at
you.
To say. My guess is because of the Cubs success this year, Harry Carey's, which is always just one of the best restaurants in the city, even better year just because of the Cubs success, right? It had to have played in.
Oh, it was insane.
Yeah.
I mean, you could not have wished for a better the way it played out, them versus Cleveland. Both teams had the longest droughts, going seven games, going, you know, rain delay, extra innings.
Yep.
And I'm the one that put out all the 108 signs.
I know.
Early
you were
on,
driving so me crazy with those.
It played out perfectly. It was funny was people were quoting me back to myself, not knowing that I'm the one that started it.
Right.
Like the 108 stitches in a baseball and all the 108s. So it kept on playing. But I went over all the 108s with Anthony Rizzo. I like to think I helped him like really think positive. His favorite was John Lester being born in Tacoma, Washington, the 108th largest city in America.
I hear that they watched the Rocky movie 108 times. Is that true?
Oh, I don't know. Could be.
No, I'm just throwing one back at you.
Maybe. But aren't you, I mean, I know you know some of the players and the management and the ownership. How could you not be thrilled with what they provided with all of us here in the city year long? It was just a magnificent year, and it's not going to stop anytime soon.
Now, it's a dynasty, I think, and it's very really exciting. You know, I don't believe in ghosts, but what happened like years ago, we've had this Harry Carey statue in our restaurant since 1999. It's the exact replica of the one at Wrigley Field. And the day the Ricketts family bought the team, the statue started like screaming, making noise, like cheering or something. And it did it for exactly 24 hours. The Sun-Times wrote about it. 400 people came in with recorders trying to record it. I sent it to the military trying to decode it, and because it only made noise one time. But I think Harry knew that the Ricketts family was going to bring, you know, the World Series championship to the Cubs because he just saw it.
Wow.
It's a pretty amazing story.
It's a miracle. Sorry, Fatima. You had it for a while, but now we've got it. Wow. That's impressive.
Yes.
But the mood in the restaurant, the mood is always good at Harry Carey's, but this year especially when you went in there, smiles ear to ear from everybody, there was just kind of a feeling of this is finally going to do it. This is the year.
Yes. Well, it was like we did four rallies starting at 4 a.m, and we were full at 4 a.m. And I took a lot of pride in that it was us versus, we were both on the Today Show, us and a restaurant in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cleveland, they get 1 hour extra sleep. They're the Eastern time
right.
zone. They had like 15 people. We had like 400 people. You know, Cub fans, just the energy was huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was such a special year. I mean, the best team in baseball deserves to win the World Series. Bottom line.
Yeah, and we were the best yep. all the way through.
No doubt about this. Can you stick around for just a little bit?
Sure.
Because you have brought Wendy and me an artifact, something that is very rare and very cool to see. We'll explain what that is next. It's Bill Leffin and it's Wendy Snyder, along with Grant DePorter from Harry Carey's on WGN. All right, it's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Grant DePorter has stopped by. Grant runs the Harry Carey restaurants. I know you've been there before, but go there again. You're going to love them. And then at Christmas time, they put out these incredible chocolate potato chips, unsurpassed. You're going to love them, but you'll go on a waiting list. It's not that simple to get them, but you'll enjoy them when you receive them.
And Grant, would you say the best place to find the Holy Cow chocolate-covered potato chips would be to follow the Facebook page and just keep checking it yeah. for available at various restaurants or only the one downtown?
Oh, well, I think the first, it would go Harry Carey's restaurant Facebook page, and if it happens, like you said, it'd be a flash sale. So it'd probably pop up and be sold out.
Like in a minute.
When it happens.
Yeah.
So I think just follow the Facebook page.
All right. That's the best way to do it.
That's the best way. You have brought us two books to look at and explain what we're looking at right here. Because this is a bit of history that I didn't even know existed, but this is very cool.
Well, Harry Carey had a long time. He moved to Chicago. He was with the Cardinals for 25 years, moved to Chicago to be the announcer for the White Sox in 1971. And then he was there till 81, then jumped to the Cubs in 82.
Mm-hmm.
So about a year ago, his longtime accountant lawyer switched offices and was trying to downsize. And he said, I have all these boxes in my storage room. I'm going to ship them to you. And he didn't tell me what was inside them. Because they hadn't been open since the 1970s. And I opened them up, and I saw all these diaries in this one box that was from 1971 to about 1984. And I opened them up, and I saw Harry's handwriting, and he was writing down every bar he'd gone to. And it was 6 bars a night for forever. And he would write, like, I'm with Jack Benny or Wilt Chamberlain or Ernie Banks, and who he was drinking with and what bars he was at, like Butch McGuire's and so on. And he was meticulous. Never in the 1972, I think he went to 200 bars 288 days in a row. But I think it's only because he had a hand cramp from writing. I think he was still going to the bars
and just not logging them.
Yeah. So because Harry always thought that we talked about that he probably consumed 300,000 alcoholic drinks in his lifetime.
300,000.
And it sounds like an exaggeration, but now we have documented proof. You know, it was 1,300 bars a year. And then he wrote down how much he was spending at each bar.
That's what it was. I wondered. Boy, he didn't spend that much. Drinks were cheaper back then because I'm sure he ate something, too.
Yeah, well, drinks were a lot cheaper. Well, I mean, 1971.
But people were buying him drinks, I would think, in a lot of these places, weren't they? Yeah, so he wasn't spending money on that.
Well, he was because he liked to buy rounds, too. So everyone's buying.
All right.
It's fun when people are drinking with you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, buy him a drink.
Well, right. But also, if you look who he was with, I think Harry was buying for, you know, like, if he's hanging out with Ted Williams or Wilt Chamberlain or Stan Musial, he's going to buy.
Nellie King.
Yeah, there's a list here. You've compiled a list of some of these people. So you have, as you mentioned, Wilt Chamberlain, Ted Williams, Jack Dempsey, the great fighter, Frank Gifford, Brent Musburger, Dick Enberg, Jack Brickhouse, Irv Kupcinet, Pete Van Aken, that's his good friend from Peoria, Ron Sano, Chet Kopic, Don Drysdale, Fergie Jenkins, Sid Luckman, Johnny Bench, Bill Melton, Gail Sears, Jack Benny, Joe Pepitone. This is an impressive list of drinking buddies.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, the only two people I couldn't find in there, but I know did happen, was him and Frank Sinatra and Elvis.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow.
Elvis was a huge fan of Harry's.
Wow. So was the goal in this, what was the goal in this for Harry? What did he want to achieve by documenting all this?
Well, early on, I think Harry thought he could deduct it from his taxes, but I don't think his accountant ever did that.
But it's so organized. It's a shame.
Yeah. Well, it worked well for me because it's easy. It's fun reading, and I loved it.
Now, some of the bars, these are all Chicago places, although he certainly drank on the road as well. But there's places. Now, some of these names are lost to time, but Sully's, Domino, O'Leary's, Eli's, Singapore, Adolph's, which, as I told you off, is my grandparents' restaurant, was my grandparents' restaurant on Rush Street, the Back Room, Butch McGuire's, the Pump Room, the Playboy Club, Four Torches, Mr. Kelly's, just to date this a little further, Mother's, and The Lodge, just as he had an impressive list of drinking buddies, that's like a who's who lineup of bars in the 60s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He liked Adolph's. He liked your grandparents'
Oh,
place.
Yeah. He was in there quite well. I'd see him in there when I was a little kid. He was in there all the time. So what surprised you about this as you went through this? Were there any shocks to you, Grant?
Well, I think the enormity of just how many and the fact that he was actually writing it down, like you were seeing, is he was pretty detailed with all of his.
And his penmanship didn't waver like you'd think as the night went on and he was getting to his fourth, fifth, and sixth bar. It'd be illegible, but no, you can kind of make out everything he's written.
I think Wendy might have the one where he was getting a little sloppy. There's one in there that starts, it's like a week of, it must have been a bad week, like a binge.
Well, and it's not in a straight line anymore. It starts going off to the side and stuff and a little sloppier.
I'm pretending he was at sea. He was on a boat for those last few. Think about the math in this, though. If he was doing six bars a night and these books prove that he was, so he was probably in each bar a half an hour, 90 minutes. What do you think?
Well, Dachi would say he didn't sleep. I mean, he would come home. He would close every bar. He would never leave early. So, I think he only needed a couple nights, a couple hours sleep, and then go right back to it.
Dedication.
Yes.
But you don't want to leave early because things could happen when you leave. You want to stay till the end.
Right.
Yes, he's the Michael Phelps of bars.
So at this time, how old he would have been in his 50s,
huh?
Right? If this is in 1972, Harry would be in his 50s at that point or 60s?
Harry's born in 1914.
All right.
So.
Yeah.
57?
Yeah, he's in his 50s. So think about that, to be able to pull this off, not just once in a great while, but every night. I don't know. Did his liver also write a book at any point?
Yeah. Well, he was superhuman because he really did this pace all the way up until late in life. He fell down in Miami.
Yeah.
And that's
on Valentine's night.
That's when
his
doctor said, "Hey, it's time to slow down."
Yeah.
Wow.
So he switched to O'Doul's for a little bit.
Did he?
Yeah.
That just doesn't cut it. It doesn't.
Kind of a beer taste.
But he never would admit he's drinking O'Doul's, so he put the Budweiser bottle in front of his glass.
Oh, that's
brilliant.
So funny.
Brilliant, yes. Brilliant, brilliant.
All right, where was Catfish or Singapore? Orange Tree. These are some of the restaurants / bars that he frequented.
I forget. I mean, that was before my time, too. But I bet your listeners know because some regulars at Harry Carey's were going through that list with me, and they had frequented those places as well.
The Westin, the Drake.
The ones I recognize are mostly Rush Street or just off of Rush Street. So that he was the mayor of Rush Street. Mm-hmm. So my guess is, I'm just guessing here, but within the vicinity.
I saw some up in Lincoln Park.
Were there a few? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a Holiday Inn. I hope it was just a drink.
Yeah.
It was just a dream, I'm sure.
I think he was at the 410 Club and the Wrigley Building across over here.
It says in 1971, Harry documented 1,362 bar visits, but then in 72, his numbers were way down to just 1,242. He really slipped in 1 year.
I think he was going, more, like you said, how much time he spent in one bar. He had to slow it down.
Quality over quantity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started getting to know his favorite places, like Adolph's, and hung out there longer.
I love it.
God, this is great.
This is fantastic. Grant, it's so much fun to see you, and really one of the things that Wendy and I look forward to the most at Christmas time are these potato chips, these chocolate-covered potato chips. One more time, if people want them, they're not easy to obtain, but visit the Facebook page, Harry Carey's Facebook page, and it'll alert you as to where and when these chips are available, huh?
Right, or they could be proactive and try getting on waiting list at emailing holycow@harrycarys.com.
All right.
When do you start making these for the season? Like a little before Thanksgiving?
No. They're very fresh.
Okay, because all I want to say is maybe in the future, you know, everybody's got an iPhone now. They can set a little alert for, like, what day? December, 1st of December, maybe, and remind themselves, get Holy Cow chocolate-covered potato chips
I
from
would
Harry
do it
Carey's.
Before, I would email before then, for sure.
See? Yeah. You got to get proactive
Jump on
this.
It. Yep, absolutely. Great to see you, Grant. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Grant, guys.
It's Grant DePorter from Harry
Merry
Carey's.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
A quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN. And Bill, I'm surprised that you didn't tell Kevin to play the song Ring My Bell for
Wouldn't
this particular...
Wouldn't that have been appropriate for this?
Who did that song? Donna Summer?
I don't remember.
I'm going to go with Donna Summer.
I think it's along those lines.
Yeah, all right.
We are talking, of course, about the Bell Ringers and Salvation Army. And on the line with us right now, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Smith, the head of the Salvation Army in Greater Chicagoland. Hello, Lieutenant Colonel.
Hi, Bill and Wendy. It's good to be on the air with you.
All right. The bells have been ringing. You hear them every time you walk into a store in the area, and they will be ringing with the red kettles until, what, Christmas Eve?
Yes, December 24th will be the end of the kettle season, although our Christmas campaign goes through January 31.
All right. You can create your own online red kettle if you'd like to collect your own donations. I think John Williams is doing his online red kettle, as he does every year. So you can find
That's
the link.
Right.
Yes?
Yeah. If they go to salarmychicago.org/John, they'll be able to give right to John Williams' virtual kettle.
I think you should get out and ring the bell in the cold, as I'm seeing all these guys doing with, you know, how you can get the wool caps that cover your entire face.
Yeah.
It's been cold the last couple of days, and your people are out there ringing the bell, cold or warmth?
Well, that's true. Actually, last week when the snow came, that usually puts a lot of people in the spirit of giving. But I had to say this week and next, I believe, where the frigid cold is coming, that does challenge our bell ringers, but we still encourage people to stop and make sure they put something in the bucket.
Charles, I do have to say, despite however cold the weather may be, they always have the cheeriest attitude, always a big smile on their faces. I don't know who tells them to do that, but they're always in a great mood.
Well, it's all about the spirit of Christmas, and we try to encourage all our bell ringers to be appreciative of every gift that is given, because every donation counts.
I never, ever have cash on me. And the last time I went into Walgreens, I bought a pack of gum so I could cash in the 20 I got from the ATM right there,
right,
just so I could give money. And people, when you think about it, this is the only time we see the red kettles is the Christmas season. But you guys count on this support, because not only are you taking care of people this part of the year, but it's all year long.
That's true. Christmas time is our highest fundraising for the public, general public. About 70% of our revenue for the budget year comes in through the Christmas season. So we really do push it hard for people to give during this time. For those who don't have any cash upon them, I know that's a continuing trend in our society. You can text to donate by going Chicago Kettle and then to the number 71777. And you can contribute in that manner, which we would also certainly appreciate.
Charles, the Salvation Army has been around for how many years?
Well, the Salvation Army has been around internationally over 150 years. Here in Chicago, it's been 130. And we actually have existed in Chicago longer than the kettles have existed. Kettles started actually in 126 years ago in San Francisco.
And why don't we ever hear about the Salvation Navy? What's going on there?
Well, I think we took the first choice that came to our founder, William Booth's idea with the Salvation Army, and we've kind of stuck with it over these many years.
It's working.
Why don't you go with that? William Booth was the founder of Salvation Army. Was it, in fact, an army, not military, but an army of people working together? How did it originate?
Well, it actually started out in the East End of London with William Booth and his wife, Catherine, and they started what was called at that time the Christian Mission, serving the down and out in East London. And they, at one point in time, determined that they were in a war against sin and its impact upon this world, and they changed all the terminology to be somewhat military, and we became the Salvation Army, and that we are in a war being a Salvation Army.
And that's
Charles,
beautiful.
That is, isn't that a nice story?
Yeah.
Charles, what is your theory behind the gold coins? This has been going on for years. Somebody puts gold coins in and we don't really know who's doing that, do we?
No, it's usually quite anonymous. They don't usually leave a note except maybe to say Merry Christmas. And it's very much a surprise. You can imagine when we open up the buckets at night where we're doing all of our counting of the currency for the day, and all of a sudden someone shouts out, "I've got a gold coin." The excitement that fills the room at that point in time is probably just like Christmas morning.
Sure. And we have no idea who's doing this, do we?
No, we don't.
And that's great.
It's placed clear across the United States. I mean, everywhere you go, there's someone that's making that type of contribution.
Wow.
This might be a stupid question, but where do you get a gold coin? Because it's not like a Sacagawea dollar. This is like a gold coin worth lots of money.
Well, there are collectors, and some individuals will go to coin shops and do collections, and that's how we actually, we don't hang on to the gold coins. We find a collector who's willing to pay top dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can get the best value of it to add to our Christmas campaign, and that's how they usually come about.
Now, this holiday season, how many people and families will the Salvation Army serve?
Well, as you said, the Christmas season we serve all year round, but during the Christmas season there'll be just as an example, we make out 11,000 food boxes to feed families. That's one example. Over 25,000 children are given toys through our various locations. So those type of services we highlight at Christmas time, but as I said earlier, need knows no season, and so our service continues to serve the down and out all year round.
People need to hear this because I'm telling you, from now until Christmas Eve, you're going to be walking past these men and women that are ringing the bell and freezing out there. So grab something out of your pocket. If you don't have money, go to the ATM and get that 20 cash. Buy a pack of gum or something and get some money, because really the Salvation Army is really the only organization that collects in such a manner with those red kettles.
Yeah, it has become kind of our iconic symbol for the Salvation Army nationwide. Here in Chicagoland, you literally can almost find a kettle on every corner. We have over 1,000 locations throughout Chicagoland, and an estimated about 25,000 bell ringers across the nation continue to serve in that capacity.
Would it be okay if you donated money into the Red Kettle and then perhaps brought the man or woman some hot chocolate? Would that be? Are they allowed to accept that?
Yes, they're allowed to accept that. Anybody would enjoy having something to warm themselves up on that cold day. So if I know our bell ringers are not out there necessarily always to make lots of money for themselves. They're there to be able to support the mission of the Salvation Army and what we do to help people.
And where do you find your bell ringers? Or anyone who wants to do it can contact you guys?
That's true. We have actually, if you go once again to that website I quoted earlier, salarmychicago.org, you'll find there's a section on there that talks about the kettle efforts, and you can sign up to volunteer right there. Actually, it allows you to look for locations near you and what hours are available, and we'd encourage anyone to sign up to volunteer. At the same time, there are those that we hire. We have the belief that for many of those, we're actually providing to help them with their Christmas, because several would be coming to us for assistance if not for the job we were providing as a bell ringer.
So some are volunteers and some are paid members of the Salvation Army. I didn't know that. It's a great thing you do, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Smith, the head of the Salvation Army in the greater Chicagoland area. And once again, any questions you have, if you'd like to donate and find out all about it, you can go to salarmychicago.org. And again, if you don't have money, what is that text number? How do we do it via text where we can donate to the Salvation Army?
You can text Chicago Kettle. And then go to the number 71777.
71777. Three sevens at the end of it?
That's correct.
Awesome. Have a wonderful Christmas, and thank you for all you do. We really appreciate it, and so do many families out there.
Thank you, Bill and Wendy, for your time today, too. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And to you, Charles, thanks so much. And really quickly, also, in addition to the website Wendy just gave, if you want to support John Williams' online Red Kettle, just go to the WGN Radio website, and you can search Salvation Army in the search bar, and they'll get you there, and you can give money that way.
We got to go head-to-head with John Williams.
You think so, yeah?
You're very competitive,
yes.
And I know how you operate.
Yes.
And if we're going against John Williams,
yeah.
We really, for next year, should work on that.
Let's look into that.
Because it would be awesome to just pass him up. And then the Salvation Army wins either way.
Oh, sure.
But then, you know, all of a sudden, ours is like triple of what John Williams is getting. Yes.
We'll show him. Except he's got Franklin Roosevelt in his corner or something, I think.
Franklin.
He's got former presidents.
Teddy
Roosevelt. All the Roosevelts are there.
You've got
Eleanor?
Grant Mulvey. I got
Grant Mulvey, though. Right. We got that.
That's going to push it over.
Really quickly, Anita Ward, by the way, the singer who did Ring My Bell.
That's who it was.
It was Anita Ward, yeah.
Do we have that song?
We can find that. Kevin will find that.
Well, come back, because I can't get it out of my head now. It is the perfect song for that.
It is.
And that is totally up your alley. I'm sure it's on your iPod right now.
Maybe.
And I can't believe you didn't think of it.
I was embarrassed. All right, we'll take a quick break. And then the beautiful music for the holiday season from us, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Quit talking over this. Who is
Sorry.
This?
Well, this is Anita Ward, Wendy.
That's what I said, Anita Ward.
Anita Ward.
You did not. You agreed with me, Donna Summer.
What?
I'll take early disco for 20, Alec.
It is the arrangement is very Donna Summer-like.
I tuned it out just like I did all Donna Summer songs.
Did you really? You just ignored this? This got a lot of radio play.
Pretty easy to write this song when you think of the lyrics.
Do you know, can I show you the lyrics for this? There's about a half a paragraph. There's almost no lyrics to this song. That's all you got.
Yeah, but there's another verse because she's not singing what that verse gives you.
Let's see.
I'd love to hear Bill sing this. This would make my whole Christmas
I'm
bright.
I'm not going to sing. I refuse
How's
to sing
How's your falsetto, Bill? Is it pretty good?
Come on, Billy boy.
I would need tighter pants.
We could do that.
And more polyester.
Kevin, give him your pants.
Switch pants with me, Kevin.
Come here, get here.
Switch pants. I'll sing the song.
When Kevin was queuing this up off the air, I could see his head bobbing.
Yeah.
And you said you haven't heard this song in a long time.
It's been a
while. I'm surprised you ever heard it.
Of course. It's great.
This was out in 1979.
When were you born, Kevin?
79. No, 87.
My smile. Did you see my smile just completely went away?
Willie Stargell, Dave Parker.
Yeah, right? They used to sing this in the Pirates Clubhouse.
No, that was We Are Family, 1979.
Right.
Sister Sledge.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I have to give some information, and I don't know if I wrote it down right.
You've been on the air for 4.5 hours. It's about time.
Finally, some information. What do you need to tell people?
I'm just ignoring him now.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. The number, again, somebody wanted to know the number to text, and if I wrote this down correctly, how does this work? To Chicago Kettle... Chicago Kettle is what you're going to text to 71777.
All right.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think so. Why wouldn't that be right?
Have you texted to do stuff? Do you even know what a text number is other than the ours?
Isn't it the same?
Well, no. There's only 5 numbers typically unless right now we've had our 312-981-7200 converted to text. But usually it's, you know, text Chicago Kettle to... 71777. That makes no sense to you at all, does it?
Not really, no.
All right. You can also go to salarmychicago.org, salarmychicago.org, or go get change from the 20 from the ATM or cash station, as I call
it. Just go outside. There will be a Salvation Army guys near wherever you are outside.
But this is if you don't have cash. You can do it via text.
Oh, okay. Money order? Will they take PayPal?
And not COD.
No CODs? All right.
Or what's the other one when you put something on layaway?
Oh, they'll do layaway.
Layaway's
right?
back.
I know.
In
it
big
is.
Fashion.
I know.
All right. Here's what I wanted to tell you. Salvation Army, texted by 773, has always been there to serve. Whenever our firemen had a lengthy fire or an all-nighter, they were there with warm, dry gloves and coffee and cocoa and warmers. The best.
Mm-hmm.
Then a different person. They have helped our fire department a lot. Please thank them.
They do good work.
They really do.
Do you remember years ago when we worked at two other stations, we had on the guy who ran the chapter of the Salvation Army?
Bob?
Bob.
Go ahead.
Bob had an interesting last name.
So much so that 16 years ago, we still remember it to this day.
Yeah.
I hope he's still with us because he was
a great
man. I
hope so.
What
a nice man he was. But he had the name that usually you would if somebody said to you, hey, you know who's going to be on your show tomorrow?
Well, you can't say his name now.
Well, you have to.
Well, you can't.
I have to. Steve said I had to.
You must.
Wendy, look over here. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
All right, Steve, let's say you had a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to you, and you do. Yeah. But let's say they said, hey, we got a guy coming on, and he'll talk about things, and his name...
I'm on break.
Bob Bonesteel is coming on the show.
Oh, I remember Bob.
Do you remember Bob Bonesteel?
Yeah. He right, has so been doing this forever.
So you would think...
But you cheapen right. it.
So let me just say that while you were giggling on FM, I was talking to him here on AM, and it never occurred to us.
Is that true? Because you think
that's
yourself...
the difference between the AM-FM bands.
Yes.
And now we've brought our FM behavior to the AM band.
Right. Mm. And made the world a better place.
High five me, Bill.
Bob was a wonderful man.
Great guy. I hope he still is.
Is
I hope he's still
man.
Around.
But he
you
was
think
so
to yourself,
nice.
Oh, that, he's probably from adult films.
Don't
That's what you would think.
See,
I bet he's been an adult.
Christmas.
I'm not trying to ruin Christmas, but when we heard the name, we panicked and
because
thought.
Because we're like 12.
We can't put him on the air. People will say, oh, you're on pay-per-view. We see you on the pay-per-view.
We aren't 12. We're like 12.
Right.
He sounds like a superhero of sorts,
yeah,
almost.
Bob
like
Bonesteel.
Captain Bonesteel, but
yeah.
like a dirty one, maybe.
He was a captain, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. I think he was.
You and Kevin are going to hell, and you've earned Christmas. Steve and I will be getting lots of
presents.
At least
we'll know people when we get there. You're not going to know anybody. All right, we'll take
Who's throwing this party?
Right, I'm out of here. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. All right, I saw this on Facebook because I like to do that. I like to play with the time suck called Facebook.
Sure.
And Twitter. And sometimes you come about some interesting things. I'll tell you, since the invention of Facebook and Twitter, it makes show prep a lot easier.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Let other people do the work.
That's what that's been my motto my whole life.
Yep.
This is from healthyanddiytips.com. Never heard of it before. But I love origins of things. We asked Lieutenant Colonel Smith, where the Salvation Army came from and stuff. So I'm reading this, and when you go back to the good old days, when times were purer and life was simpler, there was a term that I can't really say on the air.
You can't? What's it about?
When it's a saying, like if you're a type of poor, and the first word rhymes,
what's it rhymes with?
With miss.
Miss poor.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to say
All right,
that
so
word.
So the first word is another, it's a euphemism for relieving yourself.
Right.
Okay. And then poor.
And you've heard that,
oh,
you,
sure,
you know, saying.
Yeah.
Well, here's why. Back many years ago, when times were purer and life was simpler, as I mentioned, they used to use urine to tan animal skins.
Oh.
So the families used to all relieve themselves in a pot.
Yeah.
Once a day, it was taken and sold to the tannery, and then the tannery would pour it on the leather to darken the leather.
Oh.
So if you...
Wasn't there an aroma involved, though? I would think there'd be some sort of a...
You ever get a whiff of a tannery?
No, is it bad, Steve? Is it? Yeah.
I always thought that was just the smell of leather.
No.
Well, I don't think it's that smell, but yeah.
Mm.
All right. And so even worse were the people that couldn't afford to buy a pot to relieve themselves in it. So they would just go in the yard or whatever, but they couldn't put it in a pot and sell it to the tannery.
Yeah.
So that expression, they didn't have a pot to
blank in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were considered the lowest of the low.
Oh, that was the economic status.
Yeah.
All right.
Most people got married in June because they took their yearly bath in May.
No, that's terrible.
And they still smelled pretty good.
Their yearly bath.
Well, people had no money.
That's terrible.
Most people got married in June because they took their yearly bath in May and they still smelled pretty good by June.
Sure.
However, since they were starting to smell, brides carried a bouquet of flowers to hide the body odor, hence the floral bouquet.
That's why? I didn't know that.
According to this website, which is healthanddiytips.com, baths consisted of a big tub filled with hot water, not unlike today.
Mm-hmm.
The man of the house had the privilege of the nice clean water, and so he would take a bath. Then all the other sons and men in the family would take a bath. Then the women would take a bath.
Yeah.
And finally the children, last of all the babies. By then the water was so dirty you could actually lose someone in it, hence the saying, don't throw the baby out with the bath water.
That's where that comes from. I've never understood
I haven't either.
Oh, I had no idea.
Again, I don't know how true these are, but they sound pretty fascinating.
They were on the internet.
Me.
They're true.
Oh.
You're not going to put stuff on the internet that's not true.
It's a Russian website.
Is it really?
No. Houses had thatched roofs with thick straw piled high and no wood underneath.
Yeah.
It was the only place for animals to get warm. So all the cats and other small animals, mice, bugs, what have you,
mm-hmm.
lived in the roof. Now, when it rained, it became really slippery, and sometimes the animals would slip and fall off the roof, hence the saying, it's raining cats and dogs. But
okay,
here's the problem.
Yeah.
It should be, it's raining cats and mice, because I don't think dogs went up on the roof. They just said cats, because they climb.
Right.
I don't think a dog would be up the roof.
No. It would be cats and mice.
Without a paddle.
Right. Right. I'm going to start saying it's raining cats and mice, so be ready to defend me when people call me out on that. But that's my new thing.
Well, it said mice and bugs, too, so how about it's raining cats and bugs?
All right, it's raining cats and bugs from here on in.
Here's some more interesting stuff.
I'm still sad about the yearly bath. That's, of all the ones you've told us so far, that's the one that's making me sad, that people would only get a bath.
Not that they had to relieve themselves in a pot and sell that for money.
That's sad, too, but I'm thinking about...
But the bath is worse?
Well, yeah, because a year...
Well, if they don't have the pot to relieve themselves in, they can't buy money, and how do they take a bath?
But then imagine being like the fifth kid in a family, and everyone you live with has already been in the bath.
That's why you don't have kids.
I guess.
Back then. Although they had a lot of kids, so don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. It got so dirty you couldn't see the last kid in there, and it was the baby.
That's awful.
Although, here's the thing. When you're giving a baby a bath, don't you hang on to it?
Oh, yeah.
So
really
how could you lose the baby?
I know he's in there somewhere. I don't know where.
Bobbing
kind of murky.
Up and...
Right. I'll throw a lifesaver in and hope I catch him. That's awful.
Hi, Joe. You have a different story involving throwing the baby out with the bathwater?
Well, not quite different. It's just I just want to corroborate that story that's what my mother used to do. She grew up on a farm in North Dakota, and that is what they did. It was like their dad took a bath in a kettle of water and right on down to the small children, and that is how they bathed. At that time, there was a lot of people in their family, too, so it's just how they did it back then.
Can I tell you, I know we took baths as babies, but as an adult, I don't really like taking a bath. It's one thing to soak in one, but to take a bath to get clean, you're kind of soaking in your own dirt soup.
Sure.
So imagine five people later.
Right. Exactly. See, but the thing is, they didn't have a shower. Years later, my uncles, they rigged up some sort of a shower out in the woods
with the garden hose of.
What?
With a garden hose or something?
They didn't have that. It was a bucket of water, and then they pulled a string, and the water would slowly come out of spigot.
So they had, that makes sense.
What about the shower massager? How did they do that?
They had shower pick back then.
Oh, they did? Oh, all right. I'm glad to hear that. Wow. Wow, how often would these baths or showers then later take place? Was it wasn't once a year like they just said in the story, was it?
No, I think it was more around once or twice a week, I would think.
That's a little better.
You know?
Yeah.
I think. I don't really know, to be honest with you. But I think it, I'm sure it was not every single day. But as a farmer in the summer, I couldn't imagine what the stench would be like in the in that house.
Right.
Yeah, but then you don't you just go swim in the lake or something?
The swimming hole.
Yeah. Go down to the swimming pool.
It didn't. They didn't have a cement pond or a swimming hole. Yeah. It just didn't exist. So, yeah.
That's not good.
All right. Well, this is interesting. Again, if this is incorrect, you can go to healthanddiytips.com. Make your own shower massage.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Joe, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Happy holidays, Joe.
I have just an addendum to this.
To which one?
Where it was raining cats and dogs.
Yeah.
Because of the thatched roof with thick straw, animals would crawl up there to get warm. And there was nothing to stop these animals from falling into the house. There was no wood underneath. It was just kind of straw.
Yeah.
So this posed a real problem in the bedroom where bugs and other droppings could mess up your nice, clean bed.
Mm-hmm.
So a bed with big posts, they said, hey, here's an idea. And they hung a sheet over the top, and that gave them some protection for falling bugs. And that's how canopy beds came into existence.
So almost like a version of a mosquito net like you see in some parts of the world. And that's what evolved into a canopy. Wow.
It's very interesting. I have more. Do you want to
hear?
All right. Can we take a break first?
Yeah. A little bit of a break and then more of this. If you want to jump in, you know how to reach us. We're 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's us. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Wendy's found a bunch of origins of phrases, and you had no idea where they came from, and now we do, and we're sick to our stomachs.
Well, some of them are kind of bad, where a family back in time didn't have a lot of money, so they would get a bath together, and the man of the house would take a bath, and then the sons would take a bath, and then the lady of the house, then the daughters, and then the last in there would be the kid, the baby.
What happened to ladies and children first? I always
That's
grew up
a great question.
Ladies first, ladies and children first. Is that only on sinking ships?
I guess, yeah.
That doesn't
Not
seem,
in a bathtub.
That doesn't seem right.
Bathtub etiquette is different, which
opposite.
Is weird because if men are farming and working out, they're working hard all day, they're way stinkier.
Right.
They should get it last.
That's the way we would do it at my house back in the 1800s when I grew up next to the Ingalls Wilder family.
Hi, Brandy. We caught you laughing. Bill just cracked himself up.
Oh, y'all are nuts.
Thank you for that compliment.
I've got a question about, like, a for instance, that you would use the baby analogy.
Yeah.
Like, I understand, like, don't count your chickens before they hatch. You know, don't spend your paycheck before you earn
sure.
it. Sure. But what's a good for instance for don't throw the baby out?
People say that phrase, and there's never any rhyme or reason. People will go, hey, don't forget, we've got a meeting Wednesday, and I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but you better be there. And you go, all right, what does that mean?
That's not when you would use it.
I've heard people say it, like, at the oddest times where I always walk away going, why did he use that phrase right there?
I got to be honest with you. I've heard it all these times, Brandy, and I have no idea what it means or when is the appropriate time to use that silly saying.
Maybe.
All right, then I'm not the only one.
No, it's not just you. It's not just you.
Well,
I could see it as a warning if you were throwing out bathwater. If one of your friends or neighbors says, I know you're throwing out bathwater, make sure there's no babies, then it's appropriate.
What's that for that other kid to have, yeah.
Right, right.
I don't understand when you'd use it.
Well, maybe somebody will know. Somebody will figure it out. We got smart listeners.
Oh, thank God.
Christmas.
You have a great Christmas
Brandy,
as well,
thank
Brandy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we count on smart listeners because, God, they got to bail us out
we're
every single day.
It. Yeah.
All right, Cindy may not have the answer, but she has a comment about a bath. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I listen to you guys all the time.
We're glad you do. Thank you.
Hey, my husband and I still share the bath water.
When you're in there at the same time, you mean?
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh.
Who goes first?
I do. And he knows if I'm upset with him if I drain the bath water.
Oh. Oh, what's the purpose of this?
You know how much water you use filling up a bathtub? I kind of see that.
Yeah?
I don't know. I have my own well, so I don't pay for it.
Oh.
Well, then I don't understand why you're doing that.
Because we've always done it. I don't know. You know, we're older. And again, I used to take a bath. He would get in the bathtub. I would hand him the kids. He would wash the kids. And we all used the same bath water.
How about that?
We've grown, though. We use separate towels now.
All right. That's better. Good. Good.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Hey, you're welcome.
Have a great holiday.
You too.
Didn't seem like she needed to. She just kind of wanted to, I guess.
But it's really cute when you think about it. When she would take her bath first, the husband would be watching the kids, and then...
Yeah.
Or vice versa. Yeah, I guess that would be true. And then the husband would get in with the kids.
Yeah.
Just to play around.
I guess
I hope that stopped when they were teenagers.
You would think. I don't know.
All right,
put fresh Mr. Bubble in between, or do you just use the same
there's
Mr.
no
Bubble?
Room for a husband and wife and Mr. Bubble? Mr. Bubble has broken up so many marriages.
I know. Did you know he's the father of Michael Bublé? Did you know that? Fun fact.
Who needs my crap that
right.
I found on the
That's
internet?
Right.
All right, I think we have an answer to the question. Todd, when do you use the phrase, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater?
It means don't get caught up in too many things as you kind of forget the details. So the idea is you're going to get rid of the bathwater and there's a baby in it, you're going to throw it out too. So the idea is just start to take your time, make sure you've covered all your bases. Now that's another phrase you might have to figure out
why, oh, yeah.
when you use cover your bases. But
right.
I have to say one other thing, Bill, you are a real goof.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank
you. Did he hit you yeah. a lot or something?
No.
No.
I don't hit him.
Not physically. No. There's a mental jab every now and then, but that's fine.
Todd, use your baby in the bathwater in a sentence for us. This is like the opposite of a spelling bee, but really use it like how you're supposed to.
Let's see.
Like what would have to happen for you to say, oh, I know the perfect phrase to make this all right. What would it be?
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, sorry. Let's see. You're doing the research for a paper,
yeah.
and you're going to start writing without doing all the research. It's like, well, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't start. Don't forget.
Not that easy, is it, Todd?
That's all.
I'm sorry, I stepped over your last part. What'd you say, Todd?
Well, just don't forget the details. That's the big thing. Is that you're going too fast. You're going through the motions. You're not really covering. The details.
Take
so
your time.
Yeah, with the bathwater.
Cover your tracks.
Because if you're going to do that with the idea of the water and the baby, you're going to make sure, do you have all the kids before you throw the water out? You know, so the idea is do you have all your taking care of everything before you move on.
But was there a time in American history where Americans were just throwing their babies out left and right because they weren't checking?
I think so.
Oh, that's terrible. It's
so.
Awful.
Have a great Christmas, Todd. We thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Have a good holiday.
And Bill is a goof.
Bye.
Yeah.
All right. Somebody says the idea behind the baby in the bathwater thing could mean that make sure the job is done before you clean up, put all the tools away.
Oh, that makes that one sounds most plausible.
What if the bath is a jacuzzi?
Right.
Somebody else is saying, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. This seems to make sense. It means don't junk your car just because of a flat tire.
Oh, all right.
Don't throw the baby out with the...
That's a better phrase. I would say that phrase over don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't junk your car because you have a flat tire. This old car could be worth money.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't throw the baby out. I don't think this is right, and I don't know if this is meant for us or if this is how you'd use don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it simply says it means don't overdo it, idiots.
If I'm a baby and I'm hearing this, I'm panicking. Like, what kind of world did you bring me into? People are tossing babies out left and right. It's awful.